It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. My, oh my, oh my, at least here in the hills and hollers of almost level West by Cole Trump Genius Fan, this today, the 27th day of March, 2019, is without a doubt the loveliest, most beautiful day of 2019 thus far. Sun's out, it's warm. It was warm enough that Ferg even ran the lawnmower around the yard today, and so the season of mowing has begun. Man, there's nothing quite like the smell of freshly mown grass. And, you know, I needed all I could get of it today because on the other side of the coin, it was one of those days, too. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. And that's where you go if you'd like to click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and jump in and become part of the Merry Madcap Wacky Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place when this program is live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. If you do right now, you'll be met by early arriver Squeaky, who lets us know that there's flashing, booming hailstorms in Placerville at 5:25 Pacific Daylight Time. Lights blinking too, and the dogs are nervous. That's the exact opposite of what we've got here. It has been a fantastic day. And, of course, you will be capably moderated by intermittent, sporadic, there-when-I-can chat room moderator me. And I'll do the best I can. Let's see. I got the high and Bob Kincaid. And there's Anatole wandering in, and there's Heather wandering in. More will be along presently for this prayer meeting Wednesday. But we have thanks to send out before we do anything else this evening. We have thanks to send out to our subscribers. Yes, indeed. Our subscribers for the 27th of the month include Robert in Australia. Thank you, Robert. And thanks as well to Jules. And thank you to Susan for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you. Correction coming in from the Department of Corrections, Brother Deacon Asa, letting me know that I'm pretty sure out there they pronounce it Placerville. As usual, I had a 50-50 chance of getting it right, and you'll probably never lose the bet on me getting it wrong. So, sorry about that, Anatole. He's having difficulties tuning us in today. Well, we are streaming like mad on both streams, but of course, remember the HeadOn.live stream that also runs over at the Horn's TuneIn channel is probably your better choice because it's just more consistent. So, thanks to our subscribers, and I need to let you know that we have. Again, we're fundraising this week because I'm going to be gone so much of the, you know, gone for the first, eight broadcast days of April. So we're trying to get somewhat caught up with all of that. And so there is a challenge on the table, courtesy of Chris in Germany. That's the final one for the week. There's a $100 challenge courtesy of Chris in Germany on the table. And she will, of course, meet the first double, the first $100 that come in. And that'll make it, that'll mean we've met the fundraising goal for this this prayer meeting Wednesday. So that shouldn't be too high a hill to climb, I don't think. And with any luck at all, 10 at 10. You know what, Susan and Robert in Australia and Jules would probably all love to have your company if you'd like to be a brand new subscriber on the 27th day of the month. How about that? Okay. So just run on over to headon.live. There's a contribute tab there. Jump in, be a subscriber, or just a one-off, however you want to do it. And hopefully we'll be as good at knocking this challenge out as we were last night. We locked out last night's challenge almost before the first hour of the program was over. So that's awesome. And thank you again to all of you who subscribe and knock out about a week of every given month's fundraising. Now, it is prayer meeting Wednesday, and we will get to that. But, you know, some days you get the bear. Some days the bear. Sometimes the bear gets you, and sometimes the bear is outright felonious. What do I mean by that? Remember last week when I had to make a run to Charleston and I came back and explained that it had been a humdinger of a day because we picked up a screw in a tire somewhere along the way? You know, it's just life in America. I thought it was a one-off. And then today, went to back the car up to run down to the Rippy Mart. And son of a gun, I picked up a screw on the front. The previous screw had been in the front left, or the left rotten. The previous screw had been in the right rear tire. This time it was in the right front tire, which just happens to be the side of the car that faces away from the fabulous Kincaid Mansion. Mm-hmm. And it just happened to be 1 week to the day from the last time it happened. It's a whole bunch of coinky dinkies. Mm-hmm. And I'm inclined, my credulity is strained by coincidences like that. Especially in light of the fact that it was obvious that the screw had been placed in such a way that the minute one backed up in the car, it was going to go, because the tire was flat before it left the got even to the end of the driveway. So this was a lovely little day that involved new tires. Whee! Well, that's it. Yes, Darlene in Connecticut with an email. It begs it. You're getting totally screwed, Bob. Maybe we shouldn't have let Scott say that, because maybe it's not the work of some asshole. Maybe it's the work of the goddess of irony. One never knows. But that was, $600 I wasn't looking to spend. Yay. But good side, new skins. So anyway, I just rolled in the door, having done my prayer meeting Wednesday sermonizing work earlier in the day. I just rolled in the door a little bit ago, and at least I got a beautiful day to be screwed in. Yeah. And I told you the chat room would fill up, or not fill up, but get more. So I'm no longer the only lonely chat room moderator. Midweek pinch hit utility chat room moderator Steve from Georgistan, an all around great guy, has come in, as has Heather, Anatole, Jimmy, Kiazy, and the aforementioned Squeaky, who's in Placerville, not Placerville, I'll make a note of it. But to be quite honest, since I was gone, I missed Fellowship Hall dinner. So I'm hoping there'll be a pan in the kitchen, and maybe in the oven with the light on, just keeping it warm or something. That's my hope. No guarantee though, because deacons. Yep. Lee in New York, subject line: tires. Been there, punctured that. Yeah, this, and look, it could happen. It happens. It just happens. But this just feels a little weird. As in, I went ahead and I went ahead and bought it. Powerball's up to $750 million. When you get the same kind of screw in a tire on the same side of the car exactly 1 week apart, that's go buy your Powerball ticket material. So I did. $750 million. Not shabby. But I have no idea what will be waiting for me under the aluminum foil on the to-go plate there in the Fellowship Hall kitchen. So I do know that even as I pulled into the cathedral parking lot, I saw the deacons trundling their massive bulk toward the vestibule door. Because Sister Carol Baker was there and had the horn, the cathedral horn solar-powered cattle prod out and crackling. They were moving pretty good. I think the exercise is good for them. They thundered in past the vestibule door, past that desiccating bowl of buttermints, and found their way down the center aisle. They're waiting here for me to call up the minister of music for the offertory prayer. Waiting to pass those heavy, brass, velvet-lined collection plates amongst the congregation, hoping not to that none of you will give somebody a closed head injury, because they are heavy. Just keep one eye cracked, will you? As we call the minister of music forward to lead us in our offertory prayer, just remember that little PayPal button in the bottom of the plate. Just press it. And it'll be moving on. That's why the plates are so heavy. They've got the wireless gizmo in it that transmits to the cathedral server. Right? Right. Yeah. So, Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate.
And it's all tax-free.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity, yeah. Whoever never said religion should be free.
Tacos. It was tacos.
Yeah.
I just pulled the foil back while we were having the little old blue-haired ladies never cease to amaze. It was homemade tacos this evening. And my, oh, my, they're quite tasty. I can't wait till I get a chance to get into them after the program. But, brethren and sistren, I'm a-calling on you now. Get up off of your seats and onto your feet. Oh, glory. Scrunch and screech and wiggle and waggle and waddle. And come out from betwixt the pews. And watch where you stick the pew. And move without rhythm so you, ho, amen, won't attract the worms. And come on down that blood-red aisle. And fall upon your knees, brother and sister. And lay your hands upon the subwoofer on the altar. And feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Munificent Mufti, Bob Kincaid. And this here is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Amen and amen. I thought we'd start with a note, brethren and sistren, from Sister Lady B, who writes, it's Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and I thought this might tie in nicely with today's topics. I've been reading and thinking that there are Americans who strongly believe that the shit Trump is doing is in preparation for Armageddon. You know, like, for them, this is the end times, and we need to get America back in shape for when Jesus comes. Stupid, because Jesus is supposed to go back to Israel first, but he's omnipresent, so it doesn't really matter, right? If he's in Israel, he's still on Earth, so it'll be a global outreach like, I don't know, satellite TV. Lady B is dialed in this evening. Anyway, I also wonder if it isn't end times thinking, what do they think America will become? I can imagine the conversation among the moderate Trumpers thusly. Moderate maggots, how alliterative. We're not completely against all minorities. The Mexicans would be okay if they learned to speak the English. And that colored fellow's okay, but he needs to keep his pants pulled up and stop blasting any of that rap music shit on his way to work. That black lady's a good cook, but she needs to stop it with those braids and colors in her hair. She needs to straighten it and wear it like my wife does, and she needs to learn to speak proper English. As for black athletes, they need to shut up and dribble, or block, or tackle, or whatever. They're good athletes. But they get paid well, and that's all they need to do. Do like they used to. Be seen and not heard. The Asians are good at the Chinese food thing, but they should just keep to themselves like they always have. They can be here, but again, they need to be seen and not heard. The minorities as a whole are okay, but they should just... Now remember, these are moderate maggots talking here. But they should just quietly go to work and help when they can. Honestly, they're just too demanding right now. We're not advocating going back to slavery, but we don't want them taking our jobs. They can still work the fields and cook and clean. We just want things to go back to the way they were, you know, back when America was great. Again, we were happy, proud, God-fearing folks. We were just Americans then. Now we're angry and fighting all the time. This all needs to stop. And as for the gays, fuck all that noise. It ain't natural. God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And the transgenderists, folks, or whatever they are, that's just plain silly. Men can't be women, and women can't be men, period. So there's no point in even fussing about it. So yeah, we don't like everything Trump's doing, but at least he started us back on the right path. He wants to see a return to the simpler days, too. He might be going about it a bit harsh, but he means well. God sent him here to start the work. We real Americans and Christians will finish the rest. It'll work out. Folks just need to give it a chance. Everything will be better for everyone. So let us pray for the Lord to give us strength to survive this. It'll all work out, and Merca will be ready for when Jesus comes back. There may be some tears and maybe even some bloodshed, but we're doing what's best for the country. God created Merca for this reason. The rest of the world would do better to follow in our footsteps.
Lady B says, I imagine this to be so. I don't think I'm that far off. What do you think? Happy Wednesday. Well, I think Lady B pretty well nailed it. If that doesn't merit a right solid cowbell, I don't know what does. Because I don't know how she did it, but she anticipated at least two of the stories that we've got right here in the stack for this here prayer meeting Wednesday. Let's start up in Pennsylvania, Bamistan, where Representative Stephanie Borowitz, and my goodness gracious, I got a picture of Stephanie here, and she looks like she's going to start speaking in tongues just any minute now. Got her a pretty white dress on with a little black trim over the shoulders, a little black trim around the waist, and sort of bell sleeves there, and she got her eyes closed. And I think somebody may have already, based on what the nature of the story, somebody's already whacked her on the head with the great big brass-bound velvet line collection plate. But she was selected to do the official Jesus hollering to open the legislative session in the Pennsylvania legislature. Now, she took to praying, and it just so happened that a woman by the name of Movita Johnson Harrell was getting swore in that day to be an official, no kidding, member of the Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania, Bamistan-vania legislature. Stephanie Borowitz comes from Clinton County, Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania, Bamistan-vania Stan. And as if echoing what Lady B wrote, she took off on a real humdinger of prayer. I mean, it was a surefire Lulu. You might want to get the hockey puck.
Representative Borowitz.
Thank you, Speaker. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this privilege, Lord, of letting me pray, God, that I, Jesus, am your ambassador here today, standing here representing you, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I am, the one who's coming back again, the one who came, died, and rose again on the third day. And I'm so privileged to stand here.
He came. Anybody have a tissue?
Today. So thank you for this honor, Jesus. God, for those that came before us, like George Washington and Valley Forge and Abraham Lincoln, who sought after you in Gettysburg, Jesus, and the founding fathers in Independence Hall.
Hold on. Abe Lincoln sought after Jebus in Gettysburg? Does representing Borowitz here does Stephanie have even the first foggy clue about what happened to Abraham Lincoln when he came home from Gettysburg? Smallpox mean anything? Because we just about lost ourselves a president in late 1863 when Abe came home from giving the Gettysburg Address. He got sicker. He was sick as a dog. So you might want to be careful about seeking that Jesus, because apparently Jesus was, he must have found him, and he was a carrier of disease. Lincoln was bad sick after he came back from Gettysburg, but never mind. This is the basic hi, how are you part of the prayer.
That came before us, like George Washington and Valley Forge and Abraham Lincoln, who sought after you in Gettysburg, Jesus, and the founding fathers in Independence Hall, Jesus, that sought after you and fasted and prayed for this nation to be founded on your principles and your words and your truths. God, forgive us. Jesus, we've lost sight of you. We've forgotten you, God, in our country, and we're asking you to forgive us.
You know, if she'd open her eyes, she might not think she'd lost sight of Jesus. I'm just saying.
Yes, Jesus, that your promise and your word says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face.
Heathen. Apostatist. Heretic. It's if my people which are called by my name, not who are called by my name. I think this harlot doesn't read the right Bible. She's not King James talking.
And turn from their wicked ways, that you'll heal our land. Jesus, you are our only hope. God, I pray for our leader, Speaker Terzai, Leader Cutler, Governor Wolf, President Trump. Lord, thank you that he stands beside Israel unequivocally, Lord. Thank you that Jesus, that we're blessed because we stand by Israel, and we ask for the peace of Jerusalem as your word says, God. We ask that we not be overcome by evil and that we overcome evil with good in this land once again. I claim all these things in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus, the one who, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus, that you are Lord.
And the ones that don't get gigged like frogs are going to put them to the sword. That's what the book says.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, at one point, the Speaker of the House is leaning up, grabs her by the elbow. That's enough, Stephanie. That's enough. But the reason for all that hosanna and hateful turn to your... There was one reason and one reason only. And that was Representative Movita Johnson Harrell, who was getting swore in. And she's a... Just looking, got to check. She's a Muslim. Yes. And it was not lost on a number of Democrats. Representative Summer Lee, a Democrat from southwestern PA, said, "Today we're swearing in the first black Muslim woman to the Pennsylvania General Assembly. To honor the occasion, Representative Terzai invites the most inappropriate racist Islamophobe to ramble a prayer thanking Trump, Jesus, and Israel. Most inappropriate thing I've witnessed in my 4 months." Kevin J. Boyle said, "I walked off the House floor in protest during today's prayer led by a GOP member from Central PA. This fire and brimstone evangelical prayer was before the swearing-in ceremony of the Pennsylvania House's first-ever Muslim woman. It is the epitome of religious intolerance." Asked by reporters, Stephanie Borowitz said, I don't apologize ever for praying, especially not against the Muslims. I added that part. She went on to tell Andrew Ball, "That's how I pray every day." Sure you do, Steph. Well, turns out Representative Movita Johnson Harrell has a hell of a lot more class than Stephanie Borowitz ever will.
And to bring everyone together. We as Republican and Democrat can find many, many things to fight about. Prayer should not be one of them.
Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, Jesus, that you are Lord.
I thought that was political, but I also thought it was a political statement when she talked about everyone will bow a knee and talking about how if the people are not Christian, that they are condemned.
Your promise and your word says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways.
It was directly a political statement, and I think we need to be very, very clear that everybody in this house matters, whether they're Christian, Muslim, or Jew, and that we cannot use those issues to tear each other down. And not only that, it was made during my swearing in.
I, Movita Johnson Harrell.
Which was a moment not only for my district and my city, but for the entire Commonwealth. To be the first hijabi woman to stand on the State House floor to be elected to the House is great for the entire Commonwealth. So to use my religion against me and to then storm off the floor, I thought number one was very, very immature, and number two, very, very disrespectful.
President Trump, Lord, thank you that he stands beside Israel unequivocally, Lord.
We need to make sure that we are providing more inclusion as opposed to being divisive. So I think my presence and my visual in the House sends a message that we have to represent everyone in the Commonwealth, not just particular groups in the Commonwealth, but all of the constituents that live here.
Well, maybe not Stephanie Borowitz. I don't think she wants any Muslim representing there. Jesus God. Ron and Raleigh, for mercy's sake, skip a bit, sister. Obi-Wan, you're our only hope. There's a jingle for that. Yeah. Robert in Australia points out, that religious shit don't fly in my parliament. Robert, I'm beginning to worry. You're beginning to write in hillbilly, my friend. Do they say shit don't fly in Australian? I don't know. But, you know, lucky you, because it flies and the shit flies all over this country. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's a beginning. But the other story that Lady B anticipated... you'll remember, the Mexicans would be okay if they learned to speak English. Well, you wouldn't maybe expect to see this in Southern California, but no one's immune. You remember the story we had a few weeks back about the white lady who lost her mind in the Mexican restaurant here in West Virginia, up in Parkersburg? Just went full-on apeshit bananas at some human being who happened to utter a few words of Spanish. Well, as bizarre as it seems, being as how there were Spanish-speaking people in what is now California long before there were ever any English-speaking ones. I mean, that's just a fact. Palapas Tacos is the location. They're in Anaheim, California. And up on the menu, one particular special was only available on Fridays. The Spanish word for Friday being viernes, which I'm sure I'm pronouncing horribly. This did not go well with cranky old white dude.
We're not in Mexico. We're in America.
A tirade over a taco. This man in Anaheim even yells at customers who try to come to the cashier's defense.
I'm an American. I don't use Spanish.
The owner of Palapas Tacos on Lincoln says the man could not...
What a great response. Then go get a hot dog, you're so American.
Viernes, which is Friday in Spanish.
My cashier, she was... really shaking when he left. She was like scared. Since he got in, he was like in a bad mood. He was like acting aggressive. He was like not having a good day.
The sign outside says Especial de Viernes. Inside the restaurant, though, it clearly says Friday in English. But even when the cashier pointed that out, witnesses say the man didn't let up. That's when the owner, Juan Del Rio, grabbed his cell phone.
Who are you gonna call?
Huh?
Who are you gonna call?
Immigration.
For what?
For you.
Why?
Because you're not legal.
This is over a taco.
That was particularly hurtful to the cook, who was also on the receiving end of the rant. Ruben Velasquez is shy about speaking English on camera, but tells us in Spanish,
uno trabaja honradamente.
One works honestly. We don't take the bread out of anyone's mouth.
I honestly don't know if he's racist or just hate Mexican or hate his life.
Well, it would be a lot. Let me help. He's a maggot, okay? He's a Make America Great Again Trumpansy. And they're all emboldened by the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini in the White House. Yeah, No, by the way, thanks for the update, courtesy of Robert in Morgantown. A little background on Stephanie Borowitz. She went to Christian schools and minored in Bible studies in college. What do you want to bet that part of that Bible studies minor did not involve learning, oh, I don't know, Hebrew, Aramaic, Koine Greek, Latin? Nope, sorry, pass. Not so much. What did she learn in Bible school? She learned what so many Bible schools teach so well, and that is hate. You know, just once, I'd like to see somebody, I mean, and good on the people for coming to the aid of the cashier there at, what was it, Palapos? Yeah, so go get a hot dog. But it would be not, you know, because it's a teachable moment. Hey, Cletus. Spanish was spoken in Mexico 100 years or more before the first English syllable was even heard here. So, fuck right off. Yeah, that would work. That would work. Note from Scott in San Diego. The cosmic monologist in the Keystone State. Whoa, quality word, monologist. These morons, these incomparable morons, Bob. This crazy damn lady's prayer belies the very beliefs I'm sure she says she holds. I didn't do a word count of her prayer, but I'm guessing that at least a good third of it was references to some form of her deity's holy name. Now, I know for a goddamn fact that these so-called true believers have this basic tenet to their belief system, a.k.a. BS, and that's this: God knows and sees all. But to hear old Stephanie tell it, God has great difficulty even remembering his own name. Yeah, who was it? Hey, Open Sarsaparilla? Open Saskatchewan? No. I mean, that must be why she feels the need to constantly reiterate the various names of the Lord. People like her are cosmic monologists, Bob. Not a single syllable of what she said had anything to do with God supposedly hearing it. The whole damn thing was shabbily crafted so that any and all mere mortals listening to her would be mightily impressed with how righteous she is, and I will add editorially, and would understand that she is deeply, deeply, deeply Christianly upset that there is a Muslim in their midst. Scott closes saying, her type really makes me want to throw something heavy in her general direction. Well, by God, if you can reach Harrisburg, Pennsylvania from San Diego, I'm guessing there's a baseball team down there that might be interested in having you, say, maybe in left field. Just saying. But, yeah, well said. Well said. Beginnings. Beginnings. But ever so much more. Oh, gosh almighty, yes. Oodles. Tons, even. This ton of treasure. Out there in the show-me state, what they want to show you is their piety. Not to mention their Bibles. When the clock wound down to zero, the final score was 95-52 Monday, there in Jefferson City, Missouri, as the Republican-dominated legislature passed a law that says that the Missouri legislature hereby and officially declares that kids in high school must be taught the Bible, which is kind of weird because there's no ban on teaching religious texts in Missouri. So that was specifically and explicitly done for the purpose of, well, playing to the maggots in the cheap seats. And then there's Joel Osteen, Joel Osteen, of course, is fabulously rich. He recently said that he's avoided temptation by following the same rule that Mike Pencilneck Geek does, and that is refusing to be alone in a room with a woman, not his wife. Because, you know, Jezebel, Eve, temptresses. And, of course, Joel Osteen would be powerless before such mickle ways. But Joel Osteen apparently didn't manage to get that message passed on sufficiently. No, there's an article out in Ebony Magazine about one of his proteges, a dude by the name of Pastor John Gray of something called Relentless Church. I don't know about you, but even if I was feeling churchish, I don't think I'd go to a church that was relentless, especially not under the presently given circumstances. Because, you see, Pastor John Gray of the Relentless Church in South Carolina, Stan, recently wrote to his congregation, "The last 3 months have been the hardest of my life. So many things said about me, some of it true, most of it not." Mm-hmm. Well, there's an audio tape in which a guy whose voice sounds, if it's not Pastor Gray, it's somebody who does a really good Pastor Gray, says, "When you get this message, delete it. My wife saw our text messages from Friday. She knows you were in the same hotel as me, and she does not know that I went to your room. She doesn't remember me leaving. She's got your number." Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, he's now saying, I didn't sleep with anyone. This, of course, is one of the oldest lies on earth. It goes back to, at least apocryphally, Governor Big Jim Folsom of Alabama, a big white man who was rather a notorious goat, who was alleged to have slept with a woman of color, had sex with a woman of color, and was said to have been asked, "Big Jim, did you sleep with that woman?" He said, "It's a damn lie. Didn't neither one of us get a wink of sleep." Enter Pastor Gray. "I didn't sleep with anyone, period. God is my witness. And anyone who I'm accountable to will tell you that when I'm wrong, and I've been wrong many times, I've admitted, repented, and moved forward. I didn't sleep with that woman." Operative verb being, you know, sleep. But there are always plenty of sheep in the flock. And to them, he argued, "People wanted blood, and on the spiritual side, the devil wanted to mute me. That will never happen. If I never knew the power of the blood, I do now. And I'll always preach Jesus Christ as the power of God to eradicate the penalty of sin for those who choose to fall at the foot of the cross." When you get this message, delete it. "My wife saw our text messages from Friday. She knows you were in the same hotel as me, and she does not know that I went to your room. She doesn't remember me leaving. She got your number." Ixnay on the messages may. I added that part. Yeah. Like I said, we got a busy little prayer meeting Wednesday ahead of us. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, now this story is not from the United States. This story is from Italy. But there are these religious rules some people have to follow in order to curry favor with the all-powerful, sees-all, knows-all, tells-nothing creator of the universe. Apparently, the knows-all, tells-all, knows-all, sees-all, tells-nothing, all-powerful creator of the universe has a fetish for some weird things, like not eating shrimp or what kind of headgear you have on. And one of the knows-all, sees-all, tells-nothing, all-powerful creator of the universe's most bizarre fetishes is having the ends of little baby boys' schmeckles slashed off. The older traditions insist that it be chewed off. I wish I was kidding. Well, in Italy, the Italian legislature has just hospitals in Italy, following accepted medical practice, have taken to refusing to perform unnecessary surgeries on newborn little boys and hacking away at one of the most sensitive parts of their wee little genitals, their wee little wee-wees. In reporting on this particular story, the Associated Press says that in Italy, it's almost impossible to get a hospital to do an affordable wee-wee whacking. Well, what follows is a damn tragic story. Unable to get a hospital to chop off the end of their little baby boy's Johnson, a couple in Italy botched their home circumcision, and a 5-month-old little boy died because the parents were afraid that their invisible friend in the sky wouldn't like their little baby boy if he hadn't had his dick mutilated as a child. Yep, deader than Pharaoh's cat. Fouad Aoudi, who founded an organization called the Association of Foreign Doctors there in Italy, is asking that safe circumcision be made more readily available and affordable. I guess Italy is not troubled with anything like a separation of church and state. I mean, it's Italy. The Roman Catholic Church is sort of stomping grounds. Yeah. But he wants Italian taxpayers' money, I guess, to subsidize infant male ritual genital mutilation. Make no mistake, it is genital mutilation. It is no less genital mutilation than so-called female circumcision, which is a horror of a different stripe, also pursued by some cultures and justified by a religion. Religion. Yeah. Ain't God good? Gosh, at least I hope they got the little fellas. I mean, he died from it and everything, but I hope they at least managed to get his little pee-pee properly mutilated so the invisible sky spook will let him into paradise. And don't be trying to bring no foreskins in here. And now we wander over to Robert Jeffress, the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, who wants you all to know that there's Christians, there's believers, and then there's believers. And there's only one thing that sets the real good believers apart from the garden variety believers. Hope you didn't put the hockey puck away.
Ever-changing truth of God's word.
Well, Pastor, you know, you mentioned politics, and in 2016, evangelicals were a key part of getting President Trump elected, but the numbers are actually changing on that in the opposite direction of what President Trump may want. 23.9% of the country in 2016 identified as evangelical. Today, that number has dropped by about a percentage point to 22.5%. Does that have to do with what you're...
The Fox Attack blonde there is apparently no better at ciphering than I am. From 23.9 to 22.5 is actually closer to a point and a half, but oh, why quibble?
You're just talking about with people jumping denominations, or should this be a concern for the president heading into 2020?
Well, the good news for the president this week in the Pew Research poll was that 70% of evangelicals continue to support President Trump. And also in the poll we're talking about today, even though the evangelical number has dropped as a whole, the number of evangelicals turning out at the ballot box is greater than other groups. And it's because evangelicals have deeper convictions. They believe in absolute moral and spiritual truth, and they tend to vote those convictions at the ballot box.
Fascinating stuff. Robert Jeffers, thank you very much for your time.
We appreciate it.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Fascinating. Yes, yes, that's right. Christians who support Trump are better Christians than those who don't support Trump. Now, what's curious about this is that Robert Jeffers is gospel sharp. He's supposed to know, especially the New Testament, backwards, forward, sideways, down, sideways, upside down, and backwards. I mentioned backwards twice because, well, math. I don't know, maybe algebra, possibly the calculus. Who knows? But oddly enough, and I've read it a few times myself, there's nothing in there. I mean, yes, there's render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And that business from Saul of Tarsus, who went on the lam and changed his name to Paul, saying, you know, don't upset the government. Primarily, he was trying to keep his little fledgling enterprise from being snuffed out and nipped in the bud. Nip it. But there's nothing in there about they are better followers of the Lord of Hosts. They are better followers of the Prince of Peace, who worship Caesar. In fact, one of the great Christian persecutions came when trying to deal with the rise of this weird little cult. The empire said, okay, everybody's going to have to go and stand in front of a picture of the emperor and pray to him and say that they really hope he lives a long and healthy life and he's kind of like God. Well, the early church actually refused to do that. And that's where you get a lot of the stories of the so-called martyrdoms of the Christians. Now, bear in mind, we're talking about a God who forgives everything as long as you ask, but they weren't willing to do that. Okay, yeah, I don't know. Hail Diocletian. Cool. See ya. Bye. Jesus, will you forgive me for saying the Hail Diocletian? Oh, sure, no problem. Couldn't do that because it's a death cult, and by refusing, that meant that they got to die a horrible, horrible, awful, terrible, no good, really bad death, just like their guy, Jeebus. This, however, has all been forgotten by, if he ever knew it, by Robert Jeffress. You may recall Friday that I brought up the news. It was our buddy Texas T who shared it with us. That the city council of San Antonio has decided that they really didn't need an anti-LGBT bigot organization selling chicken in the airport there. This was because even though Chick-fil-A had said that their charitable giving foundation had gotten out of the homophobia business, in 2017, They gave $1.8 million to discriminatory groups. Because Christians, because liars, because of course. And that invited the, that encouraged the San Antonio City Council to say, no, no, we don't need any bigot chicken in the airport. Well, this did not sit well with Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America.
The citizens of beautiful San Antonio deserve more delicious sandwiches and fewer rabid attacks against companies because of their charitable giving to the community. Come on!
Oh, is that what we call giving money to groups who spend all their time just hating a particular segment of the population? Charitable giving to the community? Because I don't think the money that the Chick-fil-A Foundation gave to those anti-LGBT hate groups was really given to the community at large. At least not if you consider the LGBTQQQIA community to be part of the larger community. You know, the big Venn diagram, the community, and there's a little dot in the, and it's, right. No. Rabid. They're rabid attacks because, well, I mean, there's video out there. You can see the members of the San Antonio City Council just frothing and got the hydrophobia and they're just all walking straight lines, all zombie-like and saying, no Chick-fil-A. No Chick-fil-A. Right. Yeah. Fuck off, Ted. No, really. With a white, and I do mean white, hot poker. Fuck right off. So there's that. But there's ever so much more. Oh, yeah. It's one of those, and I'm sorry, this is going to be tough for some people. This is going to be one of those evenings that has probably more E.W. Jackson in it than you ever wanted, because you never wanted any, and we got plenty. And since Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, was there talking about, and we were talking with the Chick-fil-A and the homophobia and the hate and everything. Well, E.W. Jackson, boy, is he straight. Just ask him. He'll tell you. At least until somebody finds video footage of him tapping his floor in a men's room, basement restroom, or snorting meth off of a gay hooker's back. But, yeah, he's real straight. That's why he spends so much time thinking about how gay people have the sexy time.
Well, you know, Christians put the law of God above the law of man, which is absolutely true. We do. There's no question about that. We do. But proper laws are always consistent with God's law. You see what I'm saying? And that's a major difference. A major difference. We don't I don't want to get off into a whole theological dissertation about that.
He said get off.
The point is, our whole legal system is rooted and grounded in Judeo-Christian law.
No, it isn't.
Because our laws and mores are rooted.
Now, E-Dub, I don't think, has ever been to law school. The Ad Hoc Horn Research Committee can check me on this, but I don't think I did. I went that cup of coffee for 3 long years there, and I can promise you that the law of the United States is in no wise founded upon the Christian religion. You know why I can say that to you? Because it's an actual statement of the government of the United States of America in the Treaty of Tripoli. The government of the United States is in no wise founded upon the Christian religion. That's what it says. And treaties, by operation of law, become co-equal to the Constitution itself once ratified. And by the way, the Treaty of Tripoli was ratified. So, E.W. Jackson knows about as much about law as a hog knows about China patterns. But it doesn't slow him down. He's on a roll.
Rooted and grounded in Christian principles, we don't have any difficulty most of the time adhering to the laws of the land. Now we're coming into conflict with the laws of the land because just recently a couple who own a bread and breakfast, refused to allow, only had three bedrooms. I mean, so it's a small bed and breakfast, but they refused to rent a room to a same-sex couple. I think it was two men, or it might have been two lesbians, I'm not sure which. I think it was two lesbians.
Edub, buddy, if you can't tell the difference between two gay men and two lesbians, I don't think you really ought to be opining on this subject.
They appealed to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court refused to hear the question, and I think they're ducking it. But I hope these conservative justices will get this right finally. And the people who own the bed and breakfast said no. No, we can't rent to you because that is inconsistent with what we believe as Christians, and we're not going to rent one of our rooms to two men sleeping together.
I thought they were lesbians. Well, E-Dub's confused. You know what? I bet you if E-Dub checked into a bed and breakfast and somebody looked at him and said, E-Dub, looked in a mirror lately? We definitely can't rent a room in our little three-bedroom bed and breakfast to you because, well, our religion prevents us from renting rooms to descendants of Ham. You know, the son of Noah, the one that was punished for being all sinful. And God punished him by turning their skin black. I mean, it's right there. It's right there in black and white in the Old Testament. Right there in Genesis, E-Dub. Don't you love the Bible, E-Dub? It's right there. Oh, no, E-Dub would be running right off to the courts to scream discrimination because he would have been actually discriminated against in violation of the laws of the United States because he would have been denied his constitutional rights to due process, equal protection of the laws, that kind of stuff. Yeah, the stuff that was added to the Constitution in the immediate aftermath of the Civil War. Somehow, though, E.W. Jackson is such a bigot that he can't quite process that everybody deserves equal protection of the law, not just the hateful straight people.
And have sex in our place. We're not doing it. Well, they sued them and went all the way to the Supreme Court, but the appeals court found against them, said they discriminated and they were, you know, and they're just terrible people because they discriminated against you homosexuals. Listen, can I just be perfectly blunt? Why in the world should Christians who have spent their time, their energy, their money, their prayers to buy a little bitty bed and breakfast with three rooms for guests be forced by the law to have two old big strapping men go up in one of their rooms and have sex?
Funny. A few minutes ago he thought they were lesbians. But the longer he talks about them, the bigger and the gayer and the butcher they get. You'll note it was a couple of big old strapping men. You know, the kind E-Dub likes. Big old strapping men. Strapping. Maybe it means they're naked, except for the fact that they're carrying freedom protectors or something like that. Yeah, one hopes. Big old strapping men. About 6'2". About 220. Washboard abs. Ripped. Low body fat mass index. Cut. Nice legs. Really, really, really snug, tight, gluteus maximuses and biceps that just ripple and nipples that, because, you know, E-Dub's real straight, y'all. Subject line, courtesy of Scott in San Diego. Hearing check, Bob. Did old E.W. Jackson just say it was either a gay male couple or maybe two lesbians? I'm not sure which. Or was it, I sure wish? I think he did. A lot of wishing going on in this little bit of radio. Yeah, Scott's having as much of a time with this as I am. Men. All caps. Capital M, capital E, capital N. Big ol' strappin', hairy, sweaty, well-hung men. Quick, some deacon better get those.
I have to read these on the fly. It's not like I have a chance to... Oh, damn you, Scott. Let's see if I can get through it this time. Oh, these are the things for which prayer meeting Wednesday was made, brethren and sistren, the sacred holy laughter of the Lord. Men. Big ol' strippin', hairy, sweaty, well-hung men. Quick! Some deacon better get the hose. Pastor's overheating himself. better...
I'm thinking the deacons in E-Dub's church, we mentioned the strapping and the holsters. I think the holsters have the little, when you've got a cat that misbehaves in the house, if you get a little squirt bottle with a tight stream and you just, they'll quit, scratching at your, at the woodwork, and they run. Maybe the deacons all carry the... but it doesn't work.
Now that's disgusting. Or
we can tell how disgusted you are, E-Dub.
Two women in a place that they probably prayed over and dedicated to God and said, God, use this place for your glory. Use it to bless.
It's a commercial operation. It's a goddamn bed and breakfast. Oh, dear Lord, use this here bed for your glory and our bank account, Lord. Pretty please. Let the tourist season be a good one. As long as there ain't no homosexuals. Men. Big old strapping, hairy, rippling, washboard-abbed men that are real well-hung men. Lord. We only want to make a buck, Jesus.
People and to encourage people and to comfort people and to help people, and they put their time, their energy, their money into it, and then you got the law comes along and say, yeah, well, you got to let two homosexuals go in one of those rooms and do whatever they do.
Whatever they do.
Place else to go do it. It is a free country, and you can do whatever you want to do, you can't do it here.
Yeah, E-Dub, why don't you have a copy of the Green Book?
Folks,
why you got to be staying in hotels with the white peoples?
I mean, you see, maybe E-Dub wants there to be a pink book. Or a purple book. Or wait, a rainbow book. Jack in Shreveport, subject line, E-Dub. What you're saying is that E-Dub wants the alpha male gay? And I thought it was the lesbians that had to do the strapping. A.W. Jackson is just positively he's an embarrassment of comedic riches. Mm-hmm. Big old hairy strapping men.
Not to pick on homosexuals. They should have the same right.
I mean, yeah, not to, except he's just spent the last 3 minutes and 5 seconds doing exactly that, in the name of Jesus.
Right to say to an unmarried couple, no, you cannot stay here. We don't want to rent our rooms to people who are sleeping together without the benefit of marriage.
So, well, oh, no, wait, time out.
Get married
oh, hold the damn phone. Does that mean E-Dub would support this bed and breakfast owner? If they, let's say a guy in his 70s. He says he's 239 pounds, but he looks a hell of a lot closer to 300. Isn't particularly good at tying a necktie. And let's say he comes swanning into that Christian bed and breakfast, and he's got this white lady with him, and she's maybe something on the order of maybe a 36J, and they want to rent a room, and she's got a copy of Fortune magazine. It's got the guy's face on it. And she's just kind of tapping it against her leg or her very, very short skirt. And he keeps telling her, this is going to be great. It's going to be like with my daughter. It's going to be like with Ivanka. Is E-Dub saying that they'd be within their rights to deny the president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, a room in which he could have fornicatory, adulterous relations with a woman not his Christian family values wife? Would it be okay with E-Dub if they done that? Well, now,
women can't get married in the sight of God. That's automatically disqualifying. But why should that be forced upon two people, or upon anybody who spent their time, their energy, and their money, and their prayers and their tears to build something that they wanted to be God glorifying, and then have somebody tell them, well, we don't care what you built it for. We're going to force you to have people come in there who will simply defile the place. And I said it, that, and I mean it.
We know you do, E-Dub. We know you do. Mm-hmm. And I said it, I mean it.
That's what it'll be. And their money and their prayers and their tears to build something that they wanted to be God glorifying, and then have somebody tell them, well, we don't care what you built it for. We're going to force you to have people come in there who will simply defile the place. And I
force. Notice how he punches force and come. He lives in the palm of the hand of the goddess of irony. Megan, a little bit ago, said, can someone please tell these boneheads that the framers were deists and our country was founded on the separation of church and state, most likely because of all the religious wars that tore Europe apart, depending on which monarch ascended the throne? If I hear one more person pronounce the Christian principle of law, I'm going to wave my pentacle in their faces. Woo, I'd love to see you do it, Megan. They'd probably catch fire. Lee in New York. Subject line, 239 pounds. POTUS is probably 239 pounds on Mars. Or, as I put it, yeah, he's 239 pounds in his bra. Because remember, the guy who's in charge of our B-52s is a 52B. Robert in Australia with a salient point. Why do the religious always assume... Do we have any idea, any concept of why the religious always assume that homosexuals walk around with permanent erections, constantly having sex? P.S. The great Australian film Sunday Too Far Away had English subtitles for its U.S. release. It was in English. My previous comment about the extremely rude religious person was translated into American for the American audience. Well, thank you very kindly. Good cover, y'all. Where the hell did that sound come from? Is that you, Lord? Don't kid yourself. We're not done with old E-Dub. By the way, we are an hour and 15 minutes into the program. Remember, please, and with what I had to do today that I wasn't planning on doing,
please remember, we have a $100 challenge on the table, courtesy of Chris in Germany. She's put forward four challenges so far. They've all been met. And please let's meet this last one. Dollar for dollar, Chris is out there trying to keep us from being in a hole we can't dig out of come April. Because I don't know how many nights I'm going to be able to be on the air once I'm in D.C. So 10 at 10, 1 at 100, 2 at 50, 4 at 25, 8 at 12, 8 at 1250, 16 at 6 and a quarter, 32 at $3.12.5, and we'll round up to the 13 cents. We'll take that half a penny, and we're getting to warm weather. We'll put it into Agnes's swimsuit fund. Yeah. Steve in New York, subject line, doing what we do. Odd. They always go right to sex when talking about doing what we do. Never cutting hair or designing dresses or planning a wedding. No. And it's because they're jealous, Steve. Because they think you're leading lives that are so much more exciting than theirs. Because all they've got is getting up and going to church, and every now and then there's a wedding, and it's got that horrible punch that's made out of ginger ale and rainbow sherbet, oddly enough, and like has some frozen grapes and shit in it, and if there's not a deacon there to quietly pour a bottle of old Overholt in it, then ain't nobody going to have any fun at all. Steve also notes, I'm sure he would support a Muslim-owned business who didn't want to serve Christians because it would defile the place. Just once you'd like to see that happen. It's kind of like something I was thinking of earlier today. I wish our multimillionaire for-profit media had a little bit more courage than it does. Because I think there's a really good opportunity out there every time that he takes questions, Trump, to embarrass the shit out of him. And I thought of one particular example earlier today. Can you imagine how much fun it would be if at some opportunity when Trump is waxing philosophical about how much he loves God, he does that every now and then just to keep the Robert Jeffers in the game. Wouldn't it be funny if sly, crafty reporter would say, Mr. President, could you give us your interpretation of the Bible passage that says, from each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs? And then wait for Trump to say, well, that's obviously one of your bigger commandments. Jesus really believed that. It's all about Christian charity. And I've always felt like it applied to me. And then say, hi, you dumbass, that's from Marx, not the Bible. You don't know shit, do you? Wouldn't that be awesome? Just downright beautiful? And there's all kinds of questions like that. You can take things and say that they're in the Bible, and he'll just agree with you because he doesn't know what's in the Bible.
2 Corinthians, walk into a bar.
And Scott in San Diego reminds us, there really was a green, pink, rainbow book. Such an annual guidebook was necessary for gay men traveling in America to find entertainment, dining, and sleeping accommodations that were safe. I kind of figured there probably was. You didn't take out the hockey puck, did you?
I said it, that, and I mean it. That's what it'll be, a defilement of the place that we blessed and dedicated to God. And no, it's not happening.
You know what's funny? There's not a thing in that case about anything being blessed or dedicated to God or defilement or anything like that. They just said that according to, using the Hobby Lobby, hiding behind the Hobby Lobby's lace petticoats, they said, oh, we just didn't want to rent to no homos. But all of a sudden, E-dubs, it got people out there. I guess there was incense and probably poured some Crisco oil on the bed, just like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America's Daddy Rafael Cruz, who forgot to become an American for a really long time, just like he did, pouring the Crisco right over Rafaelito's head. Might explain why Rafaelito's so damn shiny. There we go. Or, says Steve in New York, ask Trump what's his favorite passage in the Book of McGillicuddy. I like it. Thank you, Colin. Thank you very kindly for getting us started. We now have only $65 to go in Chris's prayer meeting challenge. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Colin. Hopefully folks will jump in behind Colin. We'll get this wiped out, and I can stop talking about it.
And they have the law say, well, we're going to persecute you. We're going to fine you. We might even put you in jail. So we as Christians are now coming up against...
Nobody threatened to put these bigots in jail, by the way. He's a Christian. That means he's a liar.
Because of this whole homosexual movement, we are now coming up against laws of persecution of Christians. Leave Christians alone and let Christians live their lives.
Leave Christians alone.
Lives in peace and live their lives in accordance with the word of God without somebody telling them what they've got to do with their own property, their own businesses, their own whatever, because homosexuals basically are trying to intimidate and cow Christians into bowing to their will.
Cow bow? Bow cow.
Well, they, you know what? All these leftists, all these LGBTQ folks need to read the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they read the story.
What? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Forgive me if that sounds a little, you know, gay.
Story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They'll find out that Christians who believe the word of God and really love the Lord, we're not bowing. They can do whatever they want to do. We're not bowing. We're going to keep loving them and praying for them, but we're not bowing.
No, you're not bowing, E-Dub. You're going to stand up and take it like a man. Big old strapping man.
Just like when they threw Daniel in the lion's den, the king came down and said, Daniel, is your God able to deliver you? Daniel said, oh, king, live forever. He didn't hate the king, but he said, my God has sent his angels and has shut the lion's mouths. And when they threw Shadrach.
Shut your mouth.
Meshach and Abednego in the fiery furnace, they said, king, we're not even careful. We're not cautious. We're not intimidated about how to answer you. The God.
Yeah. If you were raised on this bilious bullshit, as I was, did you ever stop to wonder what other kind of furnaces old Nebuchadnezzar had besides the fiery ones? I mean, aren't furnaces by nature fiery? I mean, did he have an icy furnace? Because that would be air conditioning, wouldn't it? Ooh, aliens, Babylon. Somebody get that guy with the wild hair over on TV.
God that we serve is able to deliver us. And, you know, I think some people misinterpret that when they say, but even if he doesn't deliver us, we still will not bow down. But that's not really what they said. They said, and if it be so, in other words, if not, they said.
Wait, what's this, Arnold? Help me here. Bob, you'll be getting a note, Arnold, from... Ron and Raleigh for gimmick infringement. Bob, about the hard-ons. That's only the blind people. What am I going to do?
If not, and people interpret that as if he doesn't deliver us, but what they really meant was, if you don't throw us in the fiery furnace, we're still not going to bow down. In other words, we're not bound down today. We're not bound down tomorrow. We're not bound down next week, next month, next year. We're never going to bow down to this dumb statue you erected and this stupid music.
He said erected. Not going to bow down. No, I guess they're tops, right? Is that the term? Yeah. Well, it's not, I just want you to know, it's not just the gay folk that E-Dub has a problem with. Um, Steve in New York, by the way. What about this? And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they held all things in common. That's a description of the early church. What is that from, Steve? Acts? Yes, they held all things in common. That would mean, at least in English parlance, they were communists. They were communists. Communists? Yes. Robert in Australia, subject line, give unto Caesar. Didn't Yeshua say something about render unto Caesar, i.e. obey the law? And if you want to pray, get yourself into a closet, which this guy should do. Oh, Robert, I think old E-Dub's already in the closet. And yes, Steve tells me that's Acts 4:22. I like the 4:22, although I got to say that the four-barreled 351, Ford 351 was pretty impressive, too. Mm-hmm. All right, it's coming on down. Only $50 to go. Thank you very kindly to Libby. Thank you, Libby. We're down to $50 now. So Colin and Libby taking care of the first half of Chris's challenge. There's $50 more to be doubled if you want to see your money doubled this evening. Thank you. Thank you. I was kind of proud of that. Oh, I think E-Dub's already in the closet. Robert in Australia is clever like that. I think he set that up for me. Albert in Rhode Island says, Bob, I've always wanted someone to ask one of those saved grifters about Trump's multiple divorces, plus his multiple acts of, you know, adultery. It's been done. It's been done, Albert. And you know what they say? He's not perfect, just saved. He's young in learning to walk in the ways of the Lord. No, what you got to do is you got to play into his vanity and make him think he knows something that everybody else knows he doesn't, like asking him about the Bible verse where it says, from each according to his means, to each according to his needs. Referring to Acts 4:22, Lee in New York says, I remember that 4:20 is popular too. Smoke it if you have it. All right, thank you, Lee.
TA 12:21 says, we who are believers should put Obama, Hillary, Bill Clinton, AOC, Omar, Booker, Chuck, Nancy P, Joy Behar, Ellen Oprah on our prayer list. Oh, you got that right. Hey, you're not going to get any objection from me out of that one. But look, there's a whole bunch of them we would need to have on the prayer list. But you know what we also have to do, Saints? And I'm very serious about this. We got to cast the devil out of these folks. I'm serious. We got to cast the devil out of these folks. Because, look, I really believe this. These people are demon-possessed. They are demon-possessed. They are controlled by the devil. They don't know it, but they are. Which is why they can say some of the things that you've heard them say.
Well, that's a hell of a fix there. I did that intentionally, hell of a fix. You're demon-possessed and you don't know it. And the only person who does know it is E-Dub there, who just wants a big, strong, strapping man to make him feel safe and protected and loved. Maybe pick out a China pattern. Tacos. This is what happens when I run late. Mm-hmm. No. And by the way, in case anybody was wondering, those folks, and particularly Barack Obama, were already on E-Dub's prayer list because I'm pretty sure he was one of those doing the imprecatory prayers during the 8 long years when the Kenyan Muslim usurper wizard was living in our White House. You remember imprecatory prayer. Let his days be short upon the earth. Let his wife be a widow and his children be orphans. Yeah, there's all kinds of Christians all over America praying that shit every day.
Here again, some famous comments of Obama. Well, if my daughter gets pregnant, I don't want her punished with a baby.
What?
The Bible says children are a blessing from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward, and blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. That doesn't sound like a punishment to me.
No, that sounds like it was written in a culture where the more kids you had, the more likely you were to survive in old age, because somebody would be there to till the fields or take over the family business or something like that, because they were kind of barbaric and they hadn't come up with an idea like Social Security yet. Truly, truly, he is a piece of work. I don't think we've ever had a Bible verse request before, but Randy in PA says, I need a Jesus quotation wherein he rails against the hypocrites. Well, I know what comes to mind for me, right quick. Yep, there it is. Try this one on for size, Randy. Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 to 37. O ye generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof on the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. And I'd say there's a pretty good chance here that if any of this bilious stuff was actually real, old E-Dub's doing a pretty fine job of condemning himself.
But to him it's a punishment. And going to the Human Rights Council, first president to ever speak before this homosexual group based in Washington, D.C., I guess they are probably the most powerful homosexual activist group in the country. And he went before them and said he was looking forward to the day when we would all admire same-sex relationships. We should admire them. Now, the only person I can think of who can come up with that stuff is the devil. Because that's devilish. Why in the world would you admire same-sex relationships? I mean,
yeah, I don't know, dumbass. You ever admire the Sistine ceiling? You ever admire? Yeah, I bet he has. That statue of David? Young, strapping man. All ripply with the muscles there, E-Dub. And, you know, right there for everybody to see. Yeah, I think E-Dub's probably done a little more gay admiring than he'd care to let on. Yeah, I understand. I understand, Libby. Sick of the evangelicals. Happy spring, Bob and Agnes. Using daffodils in magic. Lovely. The first sign of spring is the building of the is the budding of the daffodils. I love those goofy flowers. To me, they look like they're about to start honking. In many areas, they're associated with manicured suburban lawns, but they tend to spread, splitting their bulbs and sprouting where they please. They're friendly and lovely, but sorely taken for granted in magic. The first flower of spring is a powerful one in spells. I'll take that to heart because we have some growing at the edge of our driveway that were planted there, God, more than 60 years ago by my mother. Ron in Raleigh says, this is entirely too much, E-Dub. As Jerry Clower says, we need some relief, really. Skip a whole lot, brother. Well, lucky for you. Lucky for you, we're done with E-Dub. That doesn't mean we're done with prayer meeting Wednesday, however. You remember, a while back we had a clip from this little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby by the name of Josh Bernstein? You may recall he was suggesting that if anybody ever makes some gun illegal and people have to turn them in, that people should start shooting at cops. This is also, who else did he want killed? Was it Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan? I can't remember, but, who, wait. Well, never mind, he did. Now he, well, now he's getting a little anxious. No, seriously, the dude's got a little New Year's a honker and a pointed hat on his head, oblivious to the fact that it looks, because it is a dunce cap.
Liberals of America, oh, are you feeling a little butthurt right now that you didn't get any collusion? Oh, poor babies.
Hey, dickhead, collusion's not a thing. I guess he missed the part where it was noted that Mueller didn't exonerate Trump of obstructing justice.
All I can say is they called John Gotti the Teflon Don. Well, guess what? Donald Trump is the Teflon Don. He's untouchable, baby. Untouchable. No collusion.
Did you notice? He just compared. I mean, if you want to be politically, you'd say, hey, they called Reagan the Teflon president. But no, he compared him to a mob boss. How's about that? Yep. Men shall speak evil out of the evil treasure in their heart, huh?
No more arrests, no more indictments. And you know what? Let's drink a beer. Here, let's do a little toast to every single liberal scumbag in America. You got nothing, baby. A big, giant nothing burger. I hope Robert Mueller enjoys Russian dressing on his nothing burgers.
Except the fact that Trump's first national security advisor was arrested and convicted for playing footsie with the Russians. Paul Manafort was arrested and convicted for stuff that he did relative to, well, you know, a Russian-backed Ukrainian asshole. And, well, there were those a bunch of Russians. They'll never be tried, but they were indicted for, you know, deliberately interfering in the 2016 presidential election in favor of Donald Trump. Subject line, he's untouchable. Steve in New York says, no thanks, I wouldn't touch him anyway. Back to the David and E-Dub. Scott in San Diego says, strapping David, hunky for sure. And didn't he also fancy Jonathan? Well, yes, yeah, that's probably why Saul started chasing David and trying to kill him, because he found out that his boy Jonathan and David were long-time companions. I think that was the term they used then. Yes, and David and Jonathan kept each other in their hearts, and they were closer than brothers.
You know, beer always tastes better when you've proven people wrong.
You know, this little shithead is drinking a bottle of cheerleader beer. I kid you not. That's what we call it around here. Michelob Ultra, cheerleader beer. It's almost not beer at all.
For, I don't know, 3 years plus, I've been saying that there was nothing in going on in this investigation from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, I put out a video just recently in which I said that the Mueller report is going to be very similar to the Comey report. And I'm going to post that video in this video so anybody that doubts me can go there and see it. But we've got the Teflon Don. Forget John Gotti, okay? Donald Trump is the Teflon Don. You threw everything at this guy. everything.
I'm guessing a rooster's not going to crow.
You gave a
during
fake
this.
Dossier. You bullshitted the FISA courts, right? You did all these things. You had the pissing in hotel rooms with dirty prostitutes, all this stuff. And guess what? You got nothing, baby. What? A couple of process crimes? Yeah, you know what you can do with your process crimes? You can shove them where the sun don't shine. Because this president was innocent.
Ooh, he's
from
butch.
Day one, baby. Innocent from day one. How does it feel, snowflakes? Hi, snowflakes out there. How you doing? Oh, let me get another sip. This might even be the best beer I've ever had under these circumstances.
I'm guessing it's the first beer he's ever had because he thinks it's beer.
So, what else do we got? You wasted 3 years.
Do we got? Etch a maggot.
$25 million.
That's okay. That's a far cry from the 70 or 90 that Ken Starr wasted chasing the cleanest. And those were 1990s dollars.
And 3 years of taxpayer money. All of you, every single person that said that, you know, there was collusion and that Russian interference and all this other garbage, every single one of you should be responsible, if you're in the media, for paying back, or you should be fined for defamation for lying.
Because, you know, this is America and we have fines for defamation. Only we don't. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, I'd like to think I have a finely tuned gaydar, Bob. Homeboy here is a serious closet case. I can hear how badly he wants Donnie in his mouth. Just listen to the way he says, It's about the hypocrisy, folks.
Fascination of character, whatever it is that you want to call it. Now, the good news, hopefully, is that now we're going to find out if Barr's got any balls.
So now we're down to the... Yes.
Barr have a set of balls or not? That's what we need to find out. Because the real investigations need...
Hockey puck? Okay, just hockey puck?
Need to start now. We need to see people go down for
balls go down. They're so owned.
The crimes that were committed. And Hillary Clinton, you sick, lying, dying witch of a woman, you should be first in line at the guillotines as far as I'm concerned and many others are concerned.
Guillotine, he pronounces it. This guy, and he won't, you know, he's not going to get a visit from the humorless guys in the black suits with the skinny ties who spend a lot of time talking to their wrists. But he wants to see Hillary Clinton beheaded. You know, because he's not a barbarian like those head-lopping Muslims. What's that? Lee in New York. Cheerleader beer. Monty Python has a joke about what you'd call cheerleader beer. It's like making love in a canoe. Making love in a canoe? Yes, it's fucking close to water. Precisely. Robert in Australia. Pride goeth before the fall. Steve in New York, meanwhile. Remember this? Q said that Mueller's report was really about them getting Hillary and Obama. Remember those nutbags? By the way, cover-up Bill's cover-up memo said Russia interfered. Yeah, apparently he was opening another bottle of cheerleader beer when he didn't read that part of the letter. Darlene in Connecticut, ill. The thought of Barr's balls makes me grossed out. Please, please get the suggestion out of my mind, okay? Okay, I'll try to. Can't guarantee you anything, but we can sure try. I mean, I'll make every effort. So how about we go to Coach Dave Daubenmeyer? He is, of course, a big old Christian pastor. What's that, Ron, in Raleigh? 3 years? Didn't this whitewash last 22 months? Did this jagoff whoop it up when Hillary was found to be innocent of whatever she was accused of doing? No! That was obviously a case of the deep state preventing justice from being accomplished, and that's why he wants her to go to the guillotine. Something like that. But you remember, here, we gotta help Darlene here. Remember Dave Daubenmeyer? He's the guy that was whose daughters were saved from a life of short-haired, big-bottomed lesbian softball playing by Jesus.
There's nothing hidden that will not be revealed. You understand that? Do you understand that we are in an unveiling like we have never seen? Do you understand that the entire media, the entire deep state, the CIA, the intelligence agencies, the political parties, do you understand? All of that has conspired against Donald Trump, and they failed. Do you see? Do you understand the magnitude? Do you understand that all the force and power of the American government, hear me now, all of the force and power of the American government was behind the effort to get Donald Trump, and they couldn't get him? Don't you understand that there's some type of hedge, some type of protection around Donald Trump that even the people in the church, they still don't get and still don't understand? That they're so carnal in their own thinking and so religious in their own thinking that they cannot see that for whatever reason, God has placed this hedge protection around the president. Can you imagine?
Really? Bill Barr is God? Because as far as I can tell, that's the hedge of protection. Cover up Barr, William Sapphire called him that years and years and years ago.
Can you imagine you if they unleashed the FBI and the special counsel into your life? Can you imagine what they would find in your life? Your life? And Donald Trump and everything he's done and gone and everything he's done, they unleashed all the powers of hell. What did I see? 50 lawyers, 600. I mean, it was unbelievable, the stuff that they put out. And what do they have? Nothing.
So that's two nothings. Coach Dave Daubenmeyer and Josh Bernstein, neither of whom apparently read Barr's letter. Or at least, or I don't know, maybe they were told that that was what they were supposed to say. Because remember, these are well-funded, right-wing, in large part tax-exempt organizations. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, speaking of funded, thank you to Charlene, a member of the sorority of Lean, and a charter member of Queen Tracy's Reverse Oreo Society. Mm-hmm. We now have only $25 to go to finish Chris's challenge, Chris's Prayer Meeting Wednesday challenge. $25. Maybe we can finish it by the top of the hour and have an hour of fundraising free radio. I would love that.
And we laugh and we criticize and we say Trump should never be president. He's immoral, yada, 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 yada. And all those forces couldn't find anything.
He is immoral, yada, yada, yada. He's got 5 kids by 3 baby mamas. He was romping with the second Mrs. Trump while he was still married to the first Mrs. Trump, and he was romping with a porn star while he was married to the third Mrs. Trump, and the third Mrs. Trump was nursing the 5th kid. He is immoral.
Well, they probably found, Mueller probably found he cheated on his taxes, and they probably found that he had other women. They probably found some stuff on him.
But I don't think there's any probably about those parts.
But the reality of it is their intention was to overthrow the American government, all the forces of darkness to overthrow the American government, and not just American forces.
Interesting that he sees Donald Trump as the entirety of the American government. Not the House, not the Senate, not the Supreme Court. Donald Trump, l'état, c'est lui. Louis, right? Mm-hmm. Boy, if I ever get to France, they're gonna hate my attempt at French. They're just gonna you know.
We know the Five Eyes. That's New Zealand, Australia, England. They're all involved with it. And here we stand, 2.5 years later, and they failed. Something happening here.
Yeah, I think he's having a TIA or something. There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear.
We can't miss it. Because if we miss this, the scripture says this time of his visitation, folks, I don't know why, but the Lord has his hand on that Trump administration, and I can't explain it. And I don't know why.
Well, I can only hope that the Lord uses a good hand sanitizer and maybe would think about maybe wearing gloves the next time he puts his hand on Trump. Because it's not that we don't know where he's been. It's that we do. Mm-hmm. And just for fun, by the way, note from Megan, what's next? Will they be going on about which guy's little swimmers are the fastest or the strongest? For a bunch of straight men, they sure do wax lyrical about a man's anatomy. Well, Megan, I suspect it's largely a case of wishful thinking. I'll leave it up to you to figure out what they're wishing for. Let's just say I wouldn't be surprised if the Dave Dobbin Myers, Josh Bernsteins, and E.W. Jacksons, when it's late night at, say, CPAC or something like that, they're up in a private room dancing to It's Raining Men. I don't recall hearing of this guy before, but for prayer meeting Wednesday, this is just comic relief. This is a guy by the name of Bobby Connor. And he went on the Jim Baker show because, well, here it is spring, and in a substantial part of the country, that means it's tornado season. Bobby Connor, who considers himself a seasoned prophet of God, he probably means salt. There's certainly no Lowry's. Damn sure not any Tony Sachery's. But he's got some experience with tornadoes.
I got on a plane. We flew out of Albany, Oregon, down to Oklahoma City, and we'd go straight to the air, straight to the church. And a terrible tornado starts coming. A terrible tornado. And so I've just got to.
Yeah, hold on. A terrible tornado. A terrible tornado. He says it twice. Anybody want to chime in with the time that you saw the really cool, benign, laid-back tornado? The really friendly tornado, the sweet tornado, the gentle tornado. This is a terrible tornado.
The building, and one of the men on a smartphone had a Doppler radar, and he says, Pastor, there's a tornado coming. It's headed straight for this building. And so, here's what happened. The Lord said, Bobby, if you don't get up and rebuke this tornado, I'm going to send a tornado, blow the building away, hurt a lot of people, and hold you responsible.
God said that. The God of love. God's love, y'all. God told him that. You better go rebuke that tornado.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, now watch out. I said, okay, God. Now, I said, okay. If you really want me to get up there and prophesy, I want you to speak to me. I opened the Bible just.
Really? He's dickering with God? God sent a tornado that's going to drive a telephone pole through some 4-year-old. And he said, well, if you really want me to, it's a terrible tornado, remember?
Just like this, and stuck my finger down there just like that. And I looked down.
You know, that's how so many preachers get in trouble. They stick their finger down there.
And it said, son of man, get up and prophesy to the winds. Mm. Yeah. So I got up and prophesied to the winds, and you can get it. It's in the world.
You know, I think that's a case of mistranslation from the ancient Hebrew. It's probably about farts. Ezekiel 37:9, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain so that they live. Yeah. Prophesy to the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind.
To the winds, and you can get it. It's in the world. It's in the film of the Weather Channel.
Yeah, it's right there. He's rebuking the tornado right there on the Weather Channel. Yeah, I think in the ancient days there was a guy who'd eaten a lot of lentils in the tabernacle there, and he was creating a great and vile wind, and that's what got rebuked. Get your farting self out of the tabernacle, brother. Right.
The prayer goes up to bind the tornado. Tornado's coming down like that. It stops in midair, reverses its rotation, goes back up. The world record people said it had happened one other time in human history. Isn't that amazing?
Because, you know, the world record people have been keeping those records since the beginning of time. I told you that was just for fun. Put my finger down there. I did. It was good. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Lee in New York says, subject line, fake evidence. It is so easy to create fake evidence. Police did it with a bag of drugs that happened to be in the possession of the accused. Remember how many different real Barack Obama foreign birth certificates were found? Well, just about got one every other day. All you had to do was put a quarter in a little gumball machine, and you could get a Barack Obama genuine fake Kenyan birth certificate. All right. Well, as they say, in your nicer religions, here endeth the lesson. And that means we've got to catch up with some contemporary news. Looks like we're not going to do that last $25 in the last 3 minutes, so we'll try to finish that off in the third hour of the program. But this may have slipped past your attention. Last week, Thursday, Cesar Sayoc, Christian stripper. Oh, really? That would be Cesar Sayoc, part-time pizza delivery man, grocery worker, and former Christian stripper, went to court. And he went to court on charges of using a weapon of mass destruction, mailing explosives with an intent to kill or injure, and transporting explosives across state lines. Cesar Sayoc, who at the time he was apprehended in October, we all said, well, obviously he's crazy. Nope. Not even a little bit crazy, because the court accepted his plea of guilty, which was freely made without threat or coercion. He pleaded guilty in front of U.S. District Judge Jed Rakoff in federal court in Manhattan because he was the guy who had sent a bunch of pipe bombs to people that he perceived to be insufficiently obsequious toward Julius Geezer. Mm-hmm. Democrats. George Soros, Robert De Niro. Yeah, Cesar Sayoc was the guy with the white van that had pro-Trump memorabilia plastered all over it, as well as, say, a picture of Hillary Clinton with a set of crosshairs on her face, and had also put on his white van, CNN sucks. He mailed pipe bombs to former President Bill Clinton. He mailed a pipe bomb to former President Barack Obama, former President, Vice President Joe Biden. Sent one to Senator Cory Booker. Sent one to Kamala Harris. Yeah. And the aforementioned. Sent one to former CIA chief James Brennan. I always have to be careful not to call him Walter Brennan. Don't know why. It's just in my brain that way. But he pleaded guilty. Not guilty by reason of insanity. He was completely sane as a maggot can be, when he decided to try to murder people for their political persuasions. We would do well to remember this the next time some maggot goes apeshit and starts murdering people, and somebody on the multimillionaire for-profit media says, why, he had to have been crazy. Nope. Just a maggot who was moved to action by the stochastic terrorism that burbles like a mighty sewer from the mouth of Julius Geezer every day of every week of every month of every year. And what's that, Randy and PA? Sayoc sounds like a fake name to me. It's probably something QAnon came up with. Randy's funnin'. Ron in Raleigh says, did they call the wind Mariah? I told you last night that I couldn't stand the braying of all these jagoffs for the next 2 years. Going to be a lot of braying. Then again, that's what jackasses do. They bray. What's that? Lee in New York says, stop it, Bob. Stop telling us all tornadoes are bad. With a link to the Tornado Vacuum Cleaner Company of Walla Walla, Washington. No, I don't know where they're from. Oh, we've got a Joe Manchin update. You might recall that he voted with the Republicans the other day, being yesterday, on the Green New Deal resolution vote, 0-57. Joe was one of the 57. He said he voted like he did because we need to figure out a way to make hydrocarbons a better part of humanity's future, despite the fact that anybody with a half a brain realizes that hydrocarbons are, well, they are the road that leads toward humanity not having a future, but it's Joe. On the other hand, Joe is famous for shooting at things. A few years ago, he shot at the cap and trade bill. You might recall that the cap and trade bill had some several billions of dollars in it of free government money for the coal industry to work on something that could never work, namely carbon capture and storage, which for some reason or another, who knows, has made its way back into the advertising cycle. I see an ExxonMobil carbon capture and storage ad about every morning these days when I engage in my filthy little habit. It's still a boondoggle that will never work. Oh, by the way, going back to the tornadoes, a note coming in from Randy in PA. Not all tornadoes, Bob. That was, yeah. Not all tornadoes. But Joe shot the cap and trade bill. And then this past election season, he shot the lawsuit that West Virginia Attorney General Pill Pushin' Patty Morrissey filed to take away health care. And Joe got his shooting gun back out. Looks to be about a 12-gauge shotgun. If you've got something and it works for you, well, why not?
That's me, shooting the cap and trade bill, because it was bad for West Virginia. Hey, I haven't changed. I might be a few years older, but I'll still take on anyone that messes with West Virginia.
Now the threat is Patrick Morrissey's lawsuit to take away health care from people with pre-existing conditions. He is just dead wrong, and that ain't going to happen.
See what he did there? He's got a shotgun, a double-barreled over and under, and he's just dead wrong. Gosh, I hope Pill Push and Patty got the message.
I'm Joe Manchin, and I approve this message because for me, it's all about West Virginia.
Well, to be truthful, it's all about the parts of West Virginia that haven't been blown up. Because there are a lot of parts of West Virginia that Joe Manchin is entirely in favor of continuing to blow up and ruin and turn into hellish moonscapes that won't be able to be a viable part of an ecology for another 300,000 years or so at best. But we give credit where credit is due. Joe is decidedly opposed to what the maggots are trying to do relative to people's health care in this country. Namely, have the entirety of the Affordable Care Act declared unconstitutional. Funny thing is, there are even some Republicans going, really? We got our asses handed to us in the House over this, and now you're doing it again? Well, at least we can't count on Joe for much. Not much at all, but apparently we can at least count on him to get the health care issue right. As long as it's not Medicare for all. As long as it's not making sure that everybody in America, that everybody in West Virginia, for Joe's purposes, has health care. As long as it's not that, we can count on Joe to, just think of him as status quo Joe. But no, the Republicans are really not happy. About the whole getting rid of the Affordable Care Act thing. Even Mike Pencilneck Geek said he was opposed to it. But Julius Geezer, Julius Geezer said he was going to do it anyway. And so that's exactly what they're doing. Nice, huh? I mean, even Kevin McCarthy, who's the minority leader in the House of Representatives, Kevin McCarthy said, in an Axios report, it says, McCarthy told Trump over the phone that the decision made no sense, especially after Democrats killed Republicans in the midterms, in part over the issue of pre-existing conditions, according to two sources familiar with their recent conversation. Well, apparently Kevin McCarthy has not yet learned that Julius Geezer doesn't give a good goddamn what Kevin McCarthy thinks. because Julius Caesar is crazier in the head than the hog, than a hog is in the ass, crazier than a sprayed roach at a decon rave. Mm-hmm. Hey, look. It's Todd. What's up, Todd?
Oh, bye. I mean, okay, fine. Bye.
Yeah, I was counting. I was counting. You're good.
Thank you. I'm glad you could cipher on the run like that. And I wasn't trying to be funny, but this is a little distressing. I'm a little distressed. Well, first of all, you just played Joe Manchin. Now, is that how that just strikes me as like wholly inappropriate in any way to use a firearm in the midst of a political commercial?
Yeah, it was even weirder the first time he did it with the cap and trade bill, because it was right around the anniversary of the assassination of John Kennedy. But that doesn't slow that don't slow Joe. Slow Joe.
Or is he really talking to his constituents?
It's worked so far. I mean, we got a lot of gun nuts in this state.
That's what So it's probably the latter. So he knows who he's talking to. But it sounds weird to a certain segment of the population, such as myself. It's just not. That's not appropriate. That's crazy. That's not even funny. But,
never suggested it's appropriate.
No, I know you didn't. No, and I don't want to. And I don't want to intimate that either.
Let's not have any intimating on the program. Or the next thing you know, E-Dub will be talking about us on his radio show.
Oh, how about that? But you see how easy it is? Look, 45 represents us. So around the world, we're looked at in a certain way because of our president. You know, because we're Americans.
God bless America.
Way to look at that. Yeah. Well, yeah. So, you know, it would seem like this Putin-Trump presidency is really just taking off now. If you really look, like, step back and look at it, I mean, to me, you want to kill people, take away the health care. You've already, like, decimated our institutions, the FBI, and just a mere education, everything. It's just hollow. Everything's hollow, you know. Our Navy. Now, the ships can't even fucking steer straight. Do you ever remember that many naval accidents? Ever?
Well, I do. I do remember the time right after Dim Leader took office, when they let some guest aboard a submarine surface the boat underneath a Japanese fishing boat. That didn't turn it, but I get your point.
Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, but we've had back-to-back accidents during maneuvers that are just, like, even retired naval people have said, well, it's come out, they're not giving these folks enough training time before you put them out. I mean, that was the testimony. I'm just saying what I heard. But my point is that, you know, everywhere you look, we're being softened up. NATO is softened. That's what, you know, the Soviet Union and Russia always wanted. Brexit. You know, this is not just us. This is a softening of democracy around the world. But back to health care. And see, that's another part of it, though. I mean, come on. Look how disruptive, even if it doesn't go, look how disruptive. I'm going to finish my sentence. Look how disruptive this is. I'm breathing. And it doesn't matter if it goes through or not. How in the hell are you, if you're an actuary with an insurance company, how are you supposed to set rates?
That's an honest question. And obviously I'm not an actuary, so I don't have any sort of an answer. I mean,
but you have an idea.
Yeah, but I mean, for instance, where climate change is concerned, The single most powerful, wealthiest acknowledger of the reality of climate change is the insurance and reinsurance industry. They know it because they keep having to pay for it. And as much as they have in the way of reserves, Todd, they don't have enough to pay for the claims that are going to come as a direct and proximate result of climate change in the near future. And if you ask them, they'll tell you. Mm-hmm. That's why the last time, and this is just, I only know this because I pay attention to stuff down there. The last time a hurricane scoured the Alabama Gulf Coast, the Redneck Riviera, the insurance company said, fuck it, that's it. We're not writing any more homeowners' policies on the Alabama Gulf Coast because we keep losing our asses. So if you do have insurance on your second or third or fourth vacation home down there, you probably pay as much or more for it than you do for the damn house. Because the insurance industry knows that that house, it might be there for a while, but eventually it's going to be gone.
See, that's because actuaries deal in facts. Statistics and facts. And then it's like, okay, the probability is, wow. What? Oh, no. Oh, hell no. We're not insuring that area. Are you crazy? No. I'm just saying, like, talking out loud.
Yeah, we have a fiduciary duty to the money.
Right. This is my job, and this is what you asked me to do, and this is my white paper on it. These are my findings. Whatever. I've been here for 30 years, and we'll see what happens. And off they go. And that's why Aetna and Prudential, they've been in business time long because they follow the bean counters. This is, and what's interesting? And it goes right back into the softening of our American Democratic belly, is that the military even knows this climate change. They're moving towards.
Yeah, they're the other ones.
Mm-hmm. I figured it was second. It's probably second on your list, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Although, truth be told, the military probably has more money than maybe even the insurance industry and the reinsurance industry.
Well, when you can lose $2 or $3 trillion, you might have a couple quarters in your pocket. I guess my greater point too. Yeah, I get what you're saying, but my greater point is that what the president feels and wants, a lot of times it's in conflict of even these jackass, just regular jackass Republicans. See, it's something else going on. This is why we cannot have a mentally ill fascist in charge. It's just making these terrible emotional decisions. And this is not even about politics now. This guy hateful. What the hell? Are you taking people's health? I mean, repercussions. He's reactionary. He's just, he's reacting. He's not thinking this through. He's probably pissed off about McCain because he got pushed back on that because he was being an asshole about that. Okay. So anyway, I had those questions.
We've got a note from Suman answering the question, how do actuaries set rates? I'm not an actuary, but I work with actuaries every day. The way they set rates in uncertainty is to assign a risk to that uncertainty. Translation, the rates go up.
There it is.
The greater the uncertainty, the higher the rate. If I understand Suman correctly.
Right. You have to hedge your bet. If it's really uncertain, it's like, you're going to those uncharted waters. All right, I'm not going to send that ship. Okay, you want to send that ship into those rough seas, and maybe you'll get back, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll come back with some booty, maybe you won't. So we're going to bet that you won't. And if you do, great. And then you know, we'll just take care of you when you get back. You know, but that's not the way to run a country. We're supposed to be stable. And this is why I kept saying coup. And I would like to flesh that out for 1 second. See,
all right.
A successful coup, you got the strong man. That's, we know who that is. And then to make it work, you have to have those key individuals in certain posts. You know, we've got these recalcitrant cabinet members. We've had some people in the military here and there. That's why they keep shifting, because they won't fall in line. And see, this is what you do. Okay, you're not going to fall in line. You got to go. So it's like, you know, playing chess almost. Well, not chess. That's not a good analogy. But you have to put the right people in place to keep it going. Now, Barr is this is unbelievable. This is the other thing. How is the press taking this thing and running? We're talking about a 4-page letter from a thoroughly corrupted individual. I'm just saying from his history. I'm not saying he's a bad person personally. I don't know, man. I'm just saying that his professional history is suspect. And I'm old enough to see
that. Well, look, that's that notion of a bifurcated life. I mean, he comes home and his wife loves him, and the kids say, "Oh, it's Dad. How was your day, Dad?" "Oh, it was good, children. I protected a Republican president from facing the awful consequences for his horrible, horrible acts, children." "Oh, that's great, Dad. Maybe someday we can grow up and do that, too." And, you know, you brush with the mirror in the bathroom, and you're brushing your teeth. "Ah, make sure you get my back real good, and you all floss." And you're a great guy. And you help with the dishes. And you take out the garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But then you go to work, and you do all kinds of evil shit. This is what Hannah Arendt was talking about when she coined the term, you know it, want to say it? The banality of evil.
Oh, yes. Yes. Right. Right.
It's what Kurt Vonnegut was talking about when he said, and I use it as my signature quote sometimes, when he said, "A man functioning on the upper levels of a prosperous industrial society can hardly hear his conscience at all."
Yes, you're famous for that quote. Mm-hmm.
You know, the lovely, lovely people who work at the biggest law firm in the state of West Virginia, who several years ago got stone cold busted for manipulating miners' black lung claims to make sure that they were never paid, and that these people who had given their lives so that these lawyers could be rich and so that the executives that they represented could be rich died in horrible, miserable agony. But they went home, and their wife said, "Hi, honey," or their husband said, "Hi, honey," and they said, "Hi."
Like their life isn't hard enough. Oh, my God. That is awful.
Well, it's real. And they did it with John. And I mean, this is a case of collusion. And they were stone cold busted for it. They colluded with Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore.
Holy cow. Oh, they have a little history, too. Mm-hmm.
To defeat these workers' comp, or not workers' comp, but these black lung claims.
Mm-hmm.
It really happened.
And who's going to say no to Johns Hopkins, right? When they had to go to court.
Well, yeah, it's Johns Hopkins. They must be right.
Right, exactly. Yep. Oh boy. I don't understand. Well, that's terrible. What you just told me. You know, it's like people don't have a hard enough life. And you know these microparticulates and every, who knows, you know, what type of things can emanate from from that.
What evil lurks in the minds of men? The shadow knows.
The shadow knows. But, you know, to this coup, see, this is the coup. And at the same time, I've been thinking about the projection. Now they're saying, oh, no, you're trying to overthrow a duly elected president. It's like, actually, it's the other way around. This fascist coup has destroyed our country. It's destroying our country every day. And that's not hyperbole. And look at Puerto Rico. Now, he said, oh, no, you know, he always hated Puerto Ricans anyway. He does not like Puerto Ricans. He has a history of not liking Puerto Ricans since he was a young man, teenager.
Well, and he hates Puerto Rico because his hotel there sucked. Let me just say.
He could have played. Look, let's be honest here. You know, you once asked me, okay, how did he get skate through with the media in New York? You asked me that because, you know, I was there.
Because they just kind of gave him a pass. He was kooky and stupid and good for a laugh on Page 6 or whatever the hell it is.
See, that's the thing. On the subway paper, New York Post, which they call the subway paper because you can read it on the subway because it doesn't open up wide like the New York Times, was always like, you know, salacious. And he's with this hot chick at Studio 54. But the New York Times would be more balanced. They would have, in the B section, in the Metro section, you know, they would talk about this silly stuff, but they would also talk about his slumlordery, you know, the way he would like,
right, because that's the source of their wealth.
Right. Well, they had it down to a science. This is the whole, you would read it like, oh, who's he? Because, see, people don't understand the city, like, with rent control. That's your home. Like, it might be third generation in that apartment, but it's your home. You know, it's large. It might be in a really nice apartment, rent control, so you can afford to live there. So here comes Trump. If he can finagle and get leverage on that building, what he will do is cut the heat off. He won't fix anything until everybody or most people move out because it's a pain to put your money in escrow. I mean, it's a whole procedure. So he would force folks out. That was his M.O. That's what he would do. And I'm not making – I mean, this is just documented fact. That's all I can say. It's documented fact. And, right. You just said – right. So this is just ridiculous. I just don't understand how so many Americans are waving the flag like he's saving America and God bless this certain person. And actually, he's pulling the rug out from what they perceive to be America. This is the Putin presidency now. Almost every act he takes. Look at Israel. Now, how are we supposed to be an honest broker in Israel with this stance?
You got me.
I'm just curious. I don't know. Maybe I went off for a minute. I just don't understand this. But I think the media is very remiss. It's like they forget to tell the history of you know what, that bar is no measure. That's all I can say. That bar is no measure. That means nothing. But he and see, this is very suspect. That's why Mueller, whatever his name is, he has to be questioned under oath. And I think really honestly, he wants his investigations to go on, so that they can substantiate what he's already uncovered. Maybe. I mean, that's one possibility. But this whole thing stinks. The findings of that, that's not, that's nothing. That letter is nothing.
Let me share a note with you that I got from our buddy Joy up in Ann Arbor. While I want to see Mueller's report, I'm wary of how we make that request. I fear it's something along the lines of Brer Rabbit pleading not to be thrown into the briar patch. It could very well be that the full report is exactly as Barr described it. If we give it all of this credence before seeing it, we could be doing ourselves a disservice. Joy says, I'm moving on to the Deutsche Bank files, which may provide better results. And that's the thing.
Right.
We do tend to get lost in the fact that the guy's probably, Trump, is probably about 50 felonies deep in his taxes. The whole business with the Buffalo Bills involves a fraud trying to get Deutsche Bank to say that he was richer than he was so he could qualify to finally do the one thing that he always wanted to do. All he ever wanted to do, Todd, was own an NFL team. Is it so much to ask?
Right.
There's lots there. Right. But you know, Monday when I started on this and did the general takedown of the Barr to prosecution, I said, I want to see it. I want to see the whole report. I'm hoping there's a
right.
patriot out there who is willing to release the whole thing, complete with the 6E rules of criminal procedure, 6E grand jury, double secret probation bullshit in it. Not because I think that there's anything in there that's gonna make Trump look worse than he does. I think Barr is probably telling something resembling the truth when he says that Mueller deliberately chose not to make any prosecutorial judgments on whether or not obstruction was committed by Donald Trump. In other words, the game was rigged. Okay? I want to see the report to see how he rigged the game. I want to be able to pick that thing apart, and I will if it comes out. You know me.
Oh, I know you will.
And I want to be able to show just how dirty Robert Mueller is. I know that's that verges on the heretical, but I'm the one who said all along, Republicans always protect Republicans.
You did say that.
And so I want to see how he did it. And I want to be able to point it out to people.
What you see?
And now we're finding out
here.
That at best, a few weeks from now, Congress may get a summary.
No, yeah. See, that's unacceptable. And this is why I like when you use the word patriot. That's what it's going to take. And
this is going to be on a par with the Pentagon Papers.
It will.
The only thing is, it won't do
it.
It won't do what the Pentagon Papers did, that is, show, you know, straight up wrongdoing on the part of the government. The thing for me, Todd, and I'll bet you know this better than I do. Have you ever seen a mark walk past some dude who just happened to set up a card table and just happened to be dealing a game of three card Monte? You ever seen a guy who
smart enough to jump or not?
You ever seen a guy who doesn't know what three card Monte is?
Oh, the guy who just fell off the turnip truck.
Yeah.
Well.
And the next thing you know, he's giving the guy his shirt. He doesn't have any more money. Well, Robert Mueller played a game of three card Monte with the people of the United States. Because it's abundantly clear, if we are to believe Barr to prosecution, that he set up the nature of his investigation so that he would not have to. Say anything bad about Donald Trump.
Right. The whole dictate, whatever the legal term is. Because why in the world would they use, in other words, this is a thoroughly legal investigation. Why in the world would you use a word like collusion, which is a totally non-legal word, in the parameters of what you're supposed to be looking at? So that in other words, you start off with a nebulous mission statement, then you're going to come up with a nebulous answer. but the truth is in there. And we've seen, this is the thing. We have to use our thinking caps and our common sense. Now, there's such a thing as obstruction of justice. And we all understand that. If you read the statute and, you know, just watch it, whatever, go to court. But
here's one of the things that I suspect, and all it is speculation at this point. But I'm basing my speculation on what Mueller chose to publish, or what the Bar to Prosecution published.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that Mueller went into this saying, I am charged with finding out if there's any direct evidence that Donald Trump said to the Russians, gosh, I really want to collude with you. I want to collude with you so hard. Okay. When in fact, the nature of an allegation like that is far more likely to be proven circumstantially. And the one thing, at least based on the way I read the Bar to Prosecution, is that Mueller bent himself into a pretzel avoiding the circumstantial evidence that would mark sufficient proof of conspiracy. He couldn't do anything about what happened in the Southern District of New York. He couldn't do anything about the conspiracy that Cohen testified under oath that he engaged in.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't do anything about the material with Pack or Pecker, except try to not mention it real much. But as long as he didn't have a so-called direct evidence smoking gun, he was in the clear to say that Donald Trump didn't enter into an agreement with the Russians, and so therefore there was nothing for him to obstruct justice over, even though we had him on tape doing it.
So, right, I see what you're saying. That bar, they set the bar impossibly high. Like, who is going to say, yes, I agree to give you, you know, such quid pro, you know.
You can only prove that Donald Trump conspired with the Russians if you can also prove that he kidnapped the Lindbergh baby and killed Cock Robin.
See, I like your point there. I like the way you laid that out. I have to agree with that. And the problem is all that gray area in between.
Well, and see, there's that other line about intent.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I'm saying. I didn't get to finish my point. There is obstruction of justice. Then there's something different. I've been listening to the qualified, you know, lawyers. You see, from what I saw, there is absolutely an ongoing pattern of obstruction of justice.
But in the Bar to Prosecution, there's talk about intent.
Well, the intent was with Lester Holt. He said, oh, the Russia thing.
But wait. Again, it's a case of Mueller not finding what Mueller didn't look for. I mean,
well, that's
even
it wasn't his mandate, like you said.
Let me use a really simple example.
Please.
Petit larceny, a misdemeanor,
mm-hmm.
Is defined as intentionally stealing, it's defined as stealing, taking, and carrying away the goods, value, or property of another of a value of less than $1,000. That's this state. With intent to deprive the true owner thereof. Now, the way Barr describes it, there in a petit larceny prosecution, Mueller seems to think you would have to have the thief say, I'm stealing, taking, and carrying away the goods, property, or of you, and it's less than $1,000, and by golly, I intend to permanently deprive you, the true owner, of it. That is my intent. But if you've ever,
wow.
But if you've ever tried a petit larceny case, and I have,
mm-hmm.
the judge will instruct the jury. Intent is seldom susceptible to direct proof. Rather,
circumstantial then.
A defendant is deemed to intend the logical consequences of his or her actions. Intent, mm-hmm. therefore, may be inferred.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have to put on circumstantial proof of intent. You know,
sounds like Occam's razor. The way of least resistance. This is the most logical way. Like, why wouldn't you have done it?
If Billy Joe Jim Bob rides off on your four-wheeler, well, he's done stole my four-wheeler. If mm-hmm. he doesn't come back with your four-wheeler, he stole it.
Oh, there you go. Right.
If he comes back with your four-wheeler, maybe he was just joyriding.
Very good example, Bob. Mm-hmm.
And so here's a guy in Donald Trump who openly said, Russia, if you're listening, I hope you'll get the rest of her emails. He wasn't kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it was red meat for the maggots, but he wasn't kidding. Just like when he said, and the Democrats and Hillary will take your guns away, and there's nothing you'll be able to do to stop it, except maybe the Second Amendment people, maybe they'll do it. He knew what he meant. The maggots knew what he meant. And only people willing to fold themselves into pretzels thought he meant that they should go and vote.
But Bob, right after he asked about the emails, the next day, within hours, the email dump started.
Within
right.
The first hacking attempt came within hours of him saying that.
So when we're
now under
about
the standard that I just told you from a Pettit larceny prosecution, the fact that the Russians started hacking within hours of him saying that mean that you could infer that he wanted them to do it when he said it.
I would think so.
And so when he said, when he tells Lester Holt, or when he says, and remember, obstruction of justice can happen with regard to an ongoing investigation, whether you're guilty or not. And so when he tells the Russians in the Oval Office, I just fired James Comey, and that'll make a lot of this, that'll make this investigation go away. Unlike having to infer intent, that is an actual statement of it.
This is looking, listen, you have to submit this to the Justice Department. That's a joke.
Well, Agent Fred, if you want to pass it along, that's okay by me.
Hey, he's been kind to me. That's all I can say. And I appreciate it. He brought by some bundt cake. It was delicious. We had coffee.
Nice.
Couplets.
I mean, it'd be nice if Agent Fred, we got just a little bit of time left in the program. If Agent Fred would knock out the last $25 of the fundraising goal so we could qualify for Chris's prayer meeting Wednesday challenge, that'd be freaking awesome. But all these years of listening to the program, and Agent Fred has never kicked in so much as a thin dime. Maybe it's one of those government ethics things.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he's a butcher. No, I'm just kidding. This is the way you laid that out. It's just there in our face, and this is what's so infuriating.
Right, and I find it difficult, Todd, to think that at some point in the investigation, Mueller didn't at least sort of wink at that. And so you got to figure that might be somewhere in the report. If it's not, then Mueller is even more damned than I think he already is. But if there's mention of that, then that is trouble. What if, and again, speculating, what if Mueller, by way of saying he chose not to make a prosecutorial distinction, what if the reason he doesn't make that what if there's a paragraph in there, what if, that says, I'm not going to make a decision as to whether he obstructed justice or not, because we've got guidance that says a sitting president cannot be indicted.
Right.
What if it says that?
That's what I'm thinking.
Well, that means,
that means
that if it had been anybody else, he might have indicted.
Well, he's already individual number one. If he was,
yeah, but he's individual not, number one in SDNY, dude.
Right, which means that this is the other reason he has to run. We all know that. He has to run. These cases, these state cases in District of Columbia, they're haunting him. They're there. They've got the paperwork. See, okay, but I want to back up just a little bit. And I know, running short. I know maybe you want to talk to somebody else. But you see, there's so many other things going on. We used to joke about it, but I think it's true. This is so much larger than we want to believe it is in terms of the corruption and the money, because we haven't even gotten to the boot in the angle. We don't even know. And remember, remember when Obama was saying, folks, we just have this problem with people sticking to their Bible and their guns. Now, that could be a double entendre, but it would also fit that dynamic of the folks who are being corrupted with Russian money with the NRA and the GOP, the evangelicals. Because, why are you supporting this person? He's not a Christian. There's only one reason, one or two reasons. But I don't know. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do.
I just don't understand that people aren't looking at the larger, not even Bolsonaro, okay, in Brazil. In the third world where people do everything on their cell phones, this hacking, not hacking, but think about it. And you have to register with Google to do anything now, to send a picture, do anything. So, and you got to remember to log out. If you don't, you're always in. And that helps them target advertising and news. And a lot of folks, they call researching whatever news pops up through their Facebook or whatever. They call it researching news. You ask them what a primary source is, and they're like, oh, primary source. Is that Firstborn? Primary source? They don't know what the fuck that is. So, you have folks just getting what they call research and news that is directed toward them through a mobile device, because the same, a very similar thing happened with Bolsonaro's election. That's been, written about. And so we could probably look to that to happen in India and Pakistan, some nations in Africa. This is the hot thing now. And, this is really ugly. But if we can't get through it, look at what's going on. Look at this Brexit thing, man. This is just they got them good. They got those folks.
Yeah, what kind of a pathetic offer is it from Theresa May that she says,
well, if you'll just pass the goddamn thing, I'll fucking resign. All right.
That was her today. That was today. That was crazy. They just don't know it's chaos. That is total, once again, total chaos. And then who benefits? Cui bono, right? Who benefits?
Bingo. Oh, by the way, going back to Agent Fred for a minute, I have to award a cowbell, Todd. That cowbell goes out to James in Illinois. Maybe Agent Fred's wife is running for Congress as a Democrat. Nice. Nice.
Oh, boy.
An Andrew McCabe reference.
Yeah, well, you know. I don't know. This whole thing is crazy. Because, you know, and let's look back at Comey. Comey is no angel because I don't know what the hell he was thinking. You know, so he, how do you twist that? But, and you know, let's be honest. The FBI has a sordid history, even recently. I mean, when you start to frame up mentally ill people and then, you know, label them as terrorists when you've been goading them into something, you know. I mean, I know they do a good job, though. I mean, they're keeping us safe, I suppose. So we don't want. It's scary, man. It's a scary world. We don't need scary leaders. You know, we need stable people. That's why.
Right, and Irish Dave asks, my question is why Mitch McConnell, MYTH, beautiful. There's a jingle. My question is why Mitch McConnell is so adamant about covering up Russian interference. Could it be the rubles?
Money, but you told us, Bob.
Of course it could be the rubles. Lots and lots of rubles.
Lots and lots of these people. Remember, see, we got to go back. Now that we know all this, remember all the conversations we had.
Like, I mean, it takes a lot of money to buy Mitch's Derby Day hat. Isn't that one of those things that's called a fascinator or a quizzer or something? You got to have a special hat for Derby Day, and that takes a lot of rubles.
A lot of rubles. And my wife, she liked them too. But, man, come on. We had that junket that went over around the 4th of July in the middle of summer. They went over to Russia. You know, it's just.
That was last 4th of July, wasn't it?
It was during that week. It was during that week. Could have been right on the 4th, but I want to be, you know, I want to spread it out so I can be more accurate. And then, you know, it was too much. What something is going on. I'm just waiting for this Putin thing. This is too quiet. Why are we not hearing anything about this?
Oh, I know.
And you remember, wait a minute. I know you need to go, but this is so funny because in Helsinki, remember, Jeff, whatever his name is, the editor of The Atlantic, asked Putin, you know, did you want Trump to win? And he said, da. Did you help him win? Da. And he said, yes. He admitted to it. And remember, just previously to that, you know, a few minutes before when...
Ah, what are you going to do about Trump, it, huh?
What? Putin looked like he just had his green juice drink and maybe a little shot of vodka and... saw his little cute girl and jumped
how is
on
it,
stage. And
how is it you say in American movie called Man Who Drives Car for Hire, you're talking to me? You're talking to me?
Oh, you talking to me? You stupid. You know, I mean, that was crazy. And during that event, you know, that's when you could really see what was going on. I mean, I just don't understand this flack, this pushback. When it's just in your face, it's obvious. I mean, they even told us, oh, we get most of our money from Russia. So how big is this? How big is this? Because I don't even think that we have. I don't even think we have control of our country anymore. I really don't.
No, Mitch McConnell is in charge of the country. That's why we had that silly spectacle yesterday with Mike Lee. Talking about the answer to climate change is to have more babies. Little white babies. By the way, Steve from Georgia Stan wants you to know. He says, I took one for the team and listened to Washington Journal today. Opening question, can Trump improve health care? Steve says, it went downhill fast from there.
It did. I heard the podcast, and yeah, it did. And you could tell they were trying to get away from Trump, but, you know, all roads lead to Trump.
And, you know, it's a mess. But it's exciting. There's a lot of good content on there. And you know what? I found this is so funny. You might get a kick out of this. Okay, there's a famous historian, and his name's James, I think it's Robertson. His name's James. He's from Virginia. And he has a list. He sounds like Jesse Lee Peterson. And
it's a hell of a thing to say about somebody.
Listen, these guys.
Hey, were you loving some E.W. Jackson latency radio today?
What? Please describe.
Oh, did you miss it? No worries.
Oh, I missed it. What was that? Was that Dr. Bill or something?
No. That was just the beginning of the program where E.W. was talking about the big strapping men having sex.
I missed that. But Robertson. I know Dr. Bill knows Robertson because this guy has some serious. You know what's a shame when you're in school and you take history. You know, you go to history class, blah blah blah. And you know, you have to. And when I was in school, you had to do the blue book thing. You had to, you know, support your argument for why you said this and that. But these historians, they are able to argue and debate on minutia. Like when you watch these debates on C-SPAN with these, you know, like the emeritus, you know, historians, folks at the top, you know, at the top of their game, they really disagree on a lot of points. So this Robertson, you know, Dr. Robertson, I know that's his last name. So, but he has this list, but he. I'm not going to make fun of him. I'm not making fun of him. I'm just saying he sounds like Jesse Lee, but he is definitely like Shelby Foote's cousin or something. That's the camp he's in, you know, is what I'm trying to say. And he sounds like Jesse Lee, so maybe it's not as funny. I'm not explaining it.
I should mention, by the way, that Dr. Bill took on Mike Lee today, and Dr. Bill also took on Mo Brooks, Les Brames, reading approvingly from Mein Kampf, and then he did the deep dive.
That was today?
Yeah.
I have to listen to that.
Hey, okay. Dr. Bill, you know, because for a long time I mentioned it, you know, Dr. Bill just kind of goes along, lays out a fact here, fact there, lays out a fact. And then along about 10 minutes before the program's over, he brings this axe handle out from behind his back and just whack! And I mean, he parked it in the cheap seats.
I'm glad you alerted me to that. Because
yeah, everybody needs to know that when Dr. Bill goes live, he goes up. I put his program up at White Rose Society under his program, and I also always put it up on the Horn account at podbean.com. So
well, he knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so there's a couple of different places for finding Dr. Bill. I'm gonna run, Todd.
Take care.
All right, we'll talk soon, man. Later.
Hey, Bob, thanks a lot, man.
Oh, okay. Always a pleasure, man. Always a pleasure. Hey, you know what Ferg did for me today?
What, man?
He cleaned up the acorn and got it ready for spring barbecue season.
Oh, man.
And he mowed the yard.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That's beautiful.
In spring, a young hillbilly's... In spring... A young hillbilly's fancy turns to thought of hickory smoked meat.
Well,
just does.
You'll be going to the Wiggling Pig. You'll be going to the Wiggling Pig.
Oh, and I'm so.
Wait a minute. Yeah. I had never told you this. I don't think. You know, when you sparked my imagination when you talked about that stuffed pork loin.
Yeah.
So, oh my goodness. Yo, that is no joke, man. It sounds weird with the cheese and all. It sounded, you know, the. Of course, it was wonderful, but there's so many variations on.
Oh, you can do anything with it.
I've got dried cranberries in this one. It's marinating right now.
Dried cranberries. Wait, dried cranberries and Dubliner.
Shoot, I have that. Yep.
And the trick, you just got you got to have a razor sharp kitchen knife, and you got to cut that one top and lay it back flat. And then you come back the other way and lay it out, and you've got a trifolded pork loin.
I got the best that I could afford. This is one of those that will, you know.
So you lay in one layer of whatever you're stuffing it with. You take that flap and put it back. You do another layer. You bring the flap back over, and then you do the butcher's knot.
Oh, baby, I see what you're saying. All right, so that really gets it in there. That it saturates the meat because it's flat over. Okay.
And it makes it cook faster too.
Right, because I didn't do that the last two times, you know. But yeah, I understand what you're saying now. Right. And I have very sharp knives. I found a knife sharpener that was packed up since the 80s, and it's just like an echo from when they were made in Chicago.
Ooh.
Carbide.
Yeah, the EKKO or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, this thing has Bakelite handle on it. It's like it was probably old in the 70s. You know what I mean? But it's like these little steel carbide wheels, and you drag the knife through it. And I have one nice chef's knife. Some of the other ones are okay, but I have one very good chef's knife because that's just how I roll. But oh my God, this shoot. You know, you can't cook without sharp knives and onions and garlic.
Well, see, what I'm thinking is when we go down for Malloy Palooza Part 2, The Adventure Continues in June, I'm doing barbecue again. It's going to be very close to you.
Damn right.
And I'm thinking I got to do ribs because I didn't do ribs. Last time I did smoked butt and smoked turkey. This time I'm thinking ribs and pork loin and chicken because you got to have something for the non-pig eaters.
Well, how long is the drive, is it?
Oh, for me? About 9 hours.
So, but you have the Daisy Seal Meal thing, right? You can shrink, well, you can wrap.
Everything's going to be golden.
Yeah, plus it's smoked, so
right.
That's not an issue. Yeah, that sounds beautiful. That sounds beautiful, man. Well, you're doing an excellent job, and I mean, I had to get that stuff. I had to ask you those questions because there's a lot of confusion out here, and I just don't understand. The media is really, the general media is just, I don't understand it. Don't they know the difference between four pages of a letter and a report?
Yeah, I know. I got to roll though, Todd. We'll talk soon.
All right,
later, man. Our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan. Always got to work in a little barbecue talk. And Kiazi is on the stress line. Hey, Kiazi.
Hey, Bob. Hi.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm getting by. I wanted to call and talk to you before you go to the swamp next week.
Thanks.
Well, I was wondering... got a couple things I'd like to mention real quick, but...
Go right ahead.
I was going to bring that up first, because I know how near and dear that mountain, that stuff is to you, and I was wondering, you said something last week about who you're going to talk to and meet with, blah, blah, and what, you know, and I was wondering, how about that AOC? What do you think of her and her Green New Deal?
Well, we're trying to get a meeting in her office because the AIC Act, of course, is an actual bill that meaningfully does something about climate change. So one would hope she would be a fan, and one would hope she would get on the bill. So far, we have not been successful in scheduling that meeting.
Oh, wow. Well, I hope you can, because I was going to tell you, I've seen her on, did you see ever see that Solving Our Climate Crisis, Bernie Sanders Town Hall?
Yeah.
Yeah, the AOC, McKibben, Van Jones, Shailene Woodley, and a couple people.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that one?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, she mentioned she mentioned the mountaintop removal in West Virginia, and she talked about that Apollo.
Yeah.
Apollo Jean. What?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know anything about her, but anyway, she's from West Virginia. I figured you must know who she is.
Yeah, I do.
Anyway. I hope you can get in with her and that she'll get interested because, you know, Why don't you try your Mike and Tom and Bernie connection?
Well, I'm working everything I know how to work right now. We're trying to make this as splashy as we can.
Dang, yeah, I hope so. I hope that's some serious stuff. I hope you can get some people and she seems pretty sharp and sincere about it all, you know.
Yeah.
But they're trying to trash her, of course.
Oh yeah, well, and look, the resolution has been turned into a damn joke. It was an aspirational statement of a direction in which we have to go if we want to continue being a viable species on the planet. But you can tell from the way that Mike Lee responded to it in the Senate yesterday, it's all just a big yuck, yuck, yuck. And I saw saw press releases in my email today from other Republicans saying, well, we sure showed that Green New Deal to be a big old joke.
Yeah, yeah, really, yep, exactly there.
And they'll probably still they'll probably still be laughing when the water's at their goddamn chins. I mean, for instance, this morning on my filthy little habit, I noticed that they had a Republican member of the House from Nebraska who was talking about, they mentioned the fact that, you know, the Air Force Base Offutt that he used to command is underwater right now. You know what? Airplanes don't fly real good when they're underwater.
Yeah, really.
I just sat there wondering, you know, I wonder how many times this Republican has made light of climate change or refused to acknowledge the reality of it. And now an Air Force base, in Nebraska, is underwater.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy. Jeez. And then there's a nuclear power plant in Nebraska, too. They were sandbagging to protect it. I'm thinking, like, where are the trucks and the payloaders? You know?
Yeah.
Build a dike. You know?
Yeah, but the problem is with climate change being what it is, those floods are going to happen all the time. For instance, there's a 6-inch snow melt coming in the next couple of days in the upper Midwest. That's going to raise a lot of stream levels way the hell up.
Oh, wow. Here I am up in North Dakota, Stan.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna feed into the rivers that feed into the Mississippi. It'll feed the streams that feed into the Missouri.
And it's gonna
happen every year now. These are not gonna be freak occurrences. These aren't gonna be one-offs.
They aren't gonna be the 100-year flood. That's what they called it when Grand Forks, the Red River Valley, flooded back in '97. And I'm thinking, like, gee, don't you guys remember back in '79? You know, they called it a 100-year flood. That's what they call them up here.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Well, see, it's interesting. This is today is our youngest's birthday, and when she was born, where we were living, we had 500-year floods.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's going to be more often, like you say. You know, it's coming. It's coming. And but you know, they want to take us out. They want it to end with Israel and all that, but we won't go to that. I wanted to also mention to you about here. I have my Jack notes. I took some notes to make sure I was glad to hear tonight I didn't miss ribs down in Georgia. I really wanted to go to that Malloy Mountain, but I couldn't make it, and I don't think I'll be able to make number two. I'd really like to, though, and you were talking about Philadelphia. I was doing something in Philadelphia, and some woman, I think she mentioned to you, Tennicum Park.
Yeah.
And they have a barn there, Bob, you can rent, a big barn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You can check it out. Just Google it, you know, Tennicum Park, Philadelphia. I did when I was listening that night. Are you still planning on a Philly thing this summer?
Yeah, we absolutely are. That's Netroots Nation, so we'll be there doing radio. Oh, yeah. Radio Row, and heck, who knows if the 8 campaign has enough scratch to do it. Maybe we'll make a big pitch for passage of the AIC Act there, let people know that there's a real viable climate change bill already out there.
That'd be something to tell AOC too, maybe, you know.
Yeah. Well, we've got a bunch of meetings lined up. We just haven't managed to schedule one with her. But then again, she's kind of a superstar right now, and I think probably everybody wants to be in her office, so it might not be an easy get.
Yeah, well, my senators and reps, they're all Republicans, and I don't have any. I met the governor once, and he's a Republican. I met Hogan when he was governor, and otherwise, if he wasn't a Republican, I could call him and ask him, you know, just to try to meet with whatever, you know what I mean. I'd get active, right? Try to help you. I mean, not that my word is any, I mean, I would just call him, but, you know, he's a Republican, so, you know, he's right. He's right in there with Trump all the way. I can't believe it. It's just disgusting. Him and Kevin Cramer.
No.
They're just bad.
No, they are. Look, I'm glad you got in this evening, Kiazzi. Let's have a longer conversation next time, okay?
Hey, can I ask you one more thing before you go?
Sure.
What was that music? Can I find the music you played tonight about passing the plate or whatever?
That's something we've had around here for years. If you send me an email, I'll email it back to you as an MP3.
Oh, I'd like to post that on my Facebook page, if you don't mind.
Sure, but I mean, all it is an audio file. It's not a video or anything.
That's fine with me. I was looking for. I'd like to send you an email with my Addy.
Just send me an email, and I'll send it back to you.
Oh, okay. What's the MP3 file? I'm computer illiterate.
It's a sound file. It's a song.
It comes in the email?
Yeah. It'll be attached to the email.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I'll send one. I'll do that. And you're at where?
Just bobkincaid@gmail.com.
Okay. I'll do that.
Or you can use the contact link at headon.live.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Yeah, I'll do that. And good luck there in D.C.
Well, thanks a bunch, Kiazzi. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Bye now. Our buddy Kiazzi out in North Dakota. Good to hear from him. And, hey, Chris's challenge got met. Hallelujah. Thank you so much to an anonymous contributor. The challenge is met, and that makes things... Well, that helps. It's great when we don't leave challenges on the table. Thank you so much to all of you who responded. Thank you very much indeed. And so it's time to get out of here. We don't have a recessional out of the Cathedral of Common Sense. But what a prayer meeting Wednesday it's been. I have a feeling that we may have things like this all the way. Oh, my God. Yeah. Because, you know, the bit is in their teeth. And so that's it. Again, thanks to everybody who keeps the program on the air. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Steve in the chat room this evening. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program. Thank you to Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. And thanks always to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20 years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.